got sound if you want to go.
Ready? Rolling.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Talking now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kobe, how my ass tastes. Everybody, Kobe, how my ass tastes. Yeah, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you can't do it without me. Everybody, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Everybody, Kobe. Yeah.
It's like, life is like a snare drum. Whack it.
Thank you, and screw you.
When, you know, life looks at you funny, take the fast lane.
So not
you know,
this time.
We Armenians are like the
And now,
what a ridiculous way to start a day. Well, I hope it doesn't get any worse.
Our feature presentation.
No, it's going to get worse. It's one thing we've learned is that we bottom out at any point.
No,
stop it.
I knew he would do this.
Come
he would
on.
Do this.
Stop it.
Or midway through the morning, he goes, this week must be over.
We have to have some vacation. This is absurd that we're still on the air. Come
just
on.
Got back from 2 weeks of vacation, dude.
I need a vacation.
It was the best. I'm ready to come back. I was starting to get energy and drive everyone crazy around me.
Oh, no, you can't let that happen. Nope. No, no, no. No energy at home. God forbid.
No, but usually I'm tired and I stay out of people's way.
Right.
But once I start getting energy, I start, trying to bug them on purpose and stuff like that.
You're a five-year-old.
But I'm around people. That's the difference.
Yeah, being
no, I was around too goddamn many people. That's part of the problem. That's part of the reason why I now need a vacation.
Yeah.
We had tons of visitors over the holidays, and you know what it's like when you're the host. I mean, there's so much involved in getting ready for those people with getting the house together and getting all the stuff. And then you got to entertain them. You got to make sure everybody's eating, and everybody's doing everything they need to do and want to do.
day after day.
I'm sure you spent a lot of energy entertaining people.
Wasn't it your dad and your brother or something?
That was part of it, and they're tough. That's a tough room right there.
That is a tough room,
own
by the way.
Family, for God's sakes.
Of course, my little friend David, King of Mexico, he was here, and he was a delight. We did nothing but sit on the couch and watch the Twilight Zone marathon for 4 straight days.
We've got to talk to him about that. That's a poor vacation choice.
Yeah, I didn't know he was going up there.
I didn't either.
Dave's got his own room here now. He comes often enough. So
he must have needed rest.
Yeah.
That's all I can think. I'm exhausted. I need to sleep. I'm going to Bean's house.
And I am convinced, by the way, that this is the something I like to call the summer of death.
Yes.
It is definitely the summer of death, and not just with the celebrities. I mean, they've been dropping like flies, ever since Tim Russert opened up the floodgates. And then you had your George Carlin die, and then Bozo the Clown died. And it's just like one right after another. And then one of my puppies died. One of my dogs died.
Oh, that sucks.
Really?
That made it a pretty crappy holiday vacation right there. Santa's little helper died.
Aww.
I know, right? Bummer, right?
Yeah.
And then I have a cow that's going
to
die
within the next to do?
Within the next 2 weeks.
Too?
Like, no, she's going to die within the next 2 weeks, though. She's very close. She's very close. So that didn't contribute to the jolliest of holidays either.
Would you guess that you're going to become a cutter?
I'm going to become a cutter.
You know people that cut themselves because they're so depressed?
Oh, I don't think that's me.
I'm just asking.
That's too much effort.
Wouldn't it be awesome if Bean went emo?
Would be.
Dyed his hair jet black and just started listening to Morrissey and cutting himself?
Putting on Guy Lighter?
Yeah. I did buy the new MyCam album over the holidays, so I'm well on the way. So. And all I kept thinking as I was, digging graves on the Summer of Death, all I kept thinking was, right now Lisa is doing things that have never been done on the soil in Mexico. I mean, now, right now she's breaking in a whole country to new ways.
It's really the opposite of the Summer of Death.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's quite lovely, actually.
Was Mexico good?
Mexico is good. Yeah. We went to Mazatlan and great food, beautiful aquarium. I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, oh my God, the aquarium. Don't go.
Don't go.
Just
sad.
Don't go.
Well, yeah,
it's
of course.
A sad,
why would you
sad
go to an aquarium?
Nobody
you're in Mexico.
Me away.
No, but you're in Mexico. You don't go to an aquarium.
I talked to locals. I talked to a woman who had opened a restaurant there who lived in Canada before. You think she'd be straight with you? She's not, from there. And she's like, yeah, it's not bad. It's not like the States, but it's not bad. It's just the saddest little thing I've ever
How
seen.
How long did you stay?
Well, we had to stay for the Seal show.
Seal was performing there?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
There. He's kind of come down in life a little bit.
Is the Seal show like the Donkey show?
No.
Well, then don't go.
Wait, do seals have blowholes or is that just whales?
Just be whales.
If I was in Mexico and somebody came to me and said, we've got to go to this, I would go, no.
Well, it was my fault.
It was a terrible idea.
But you don't know, Kevin, before you go that it's going to be crappy. I mean, there are a lot of – there's, you know, if you're in San Diego and someone says go to the aquarium, you don't know until you go that it's great. So right. Maybe it's the same sort of deal. You know what to expect.
Right, of course.
I just wanted to experience a little bit of the city. But took a city tour with a –
But if you're in San Diego, that's a different thing. What city were you in? Mazatlan?
Mazatlan.
All right. You're in Mazatlan. You drink. I mean, that's it. You don't go to
– I can't drink as much as you, as it turns out.
Don't go.
I need to take breaks.
That's what the that's
and
what
then
Mazatlan
I went to
is
the
for.
Aquarium.
Oh, all right, and so, the aquarium's sad. It's got a lot of little beanfish swimming little... around.
There was
it's
a guy
the summer of death
in a big tank.
Nice.
The guy in a big tank who would like grab a shark and then show you its belly underwater, like that was one of the shows.
Oh man!
And then he'd grab a turtle. Gotta, let them go. Just leave them alone.
Lisa's angry. Hey, he's not enjoying that.
Well, wasn't the only thing I knew, the only reason I would have suspected bad things at the aquarium is, wasn't that's where Free Willy was originally, or at one point in his life, poor Free Willy was like in a tiny little kid's blow-up pool down there, that whale from the movies, and got a big skin rash, and it was just very sad. They couldn't wait to get him out of the country.
In Mazatlan, but
are you asking
probably,
if that's where
Mexico,
Free Willy got
right.
a skin rash?
No,
you're
somewhere in Mexico.
That's your question?
Yeah, it was somewhere in Mexico.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
right.
saying. That's all I knew about the aquarium system down there.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
It was still good. And Mike, you had hours off over vacation, right?
Yeah, it was
literally like 3 hours. You weren't working.
I was going to do it myself on July 4th when I got 4 hours of vacation. And
my God in heaven!
I was like, man, is this the time to go to Europe, or do you have me?
Well, you got to take Omar's tour,
right?
Because they can get you there quickly and get you all around.
I was weighing like island vacation, or do I go, you know, cross the pond to Europe? It was so much going through my head. It was tough.
Maybe Mazatlan. I can go see a museum.
I was going to go to the Museum of Fish Death in Mazatlan.
That's about right.
I had a fascinating vacation that included me being called an a-hole. Repeatedly.
No kidding.
But that's the same as when you're here.
I know. I know. That's what I realized. I was sitting there and I was like, wow, this is really my real life. This happens all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
And Ralph had a fascinating vacation as well. So we'll tell you about that coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean show.
And I want to hear about Omar seeing 32 countries in 30 minutes. I want to hear about that, his trip to Europe.
Yeah, he had the worst trip ever, I think. Well, I haven't talked to him about how he liked it, but it seemed at the time like he was going to be on a plane or a train or in
or
a car
bus,
or a bus.
Yeah.
For about 99% of the time.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, this is Paris. Get back in! That kind of thing.
You've seen it. What else do you want?
So we'll talk to him as well coming up this morning. Also on today's Kevin and Bean Show, we have Internet Roundup. Got some new videos to show you.
Oh, good.
We are going to talk about the Hancock premiere that Psycho Mike went to.
Yeah.
You see my email about what happened to me when I went to see Hancock?
I don't think so.
I did, but now I forgot.
The theater was struck by lightning, right?
The theater was struck by lightning. We were all turned away. When was the last time that ever happened?
Wow.
I think God hates you.
I bought tickets in advance, which I never – I don't know. I don't think I've actually ever bought tickets in advance for a movie before. But my dad really was – he wanted to see Hancock.
So why? Your dad's the guy that watches all those Saturday night programs that no one watches.
Yeah, CSI or NCIS or whatever.
You know, everyone loves Will Smith, right? So he wanted to see Hancock, so I said, I'll hook you up. So I bought 5 tickets for my dad and my brother and Dave and his little date and me to go to Hancock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I bought them in advance through the Fandango, and we drive down there on the 3rd of July to go see the movie, and there's virtually no cars in the parking lot of the movie theater. I think, well, this is weird for holiday weekend. It's tough times for Will. And then there's a theater employee out in front of the cinema who's turning people away saying, yeah, we're closed. We got struck by lightning. So I had tickets in advance, couldn't go.
Wow.
Couldn't even get a refund, by the way, because everything was fried. They had no equipment, no machines that worked that they'd give you a refund.
Are you sure that they just didn't have your picture up and when you showed up, everyone said, hide?
They had the whole place closed, 4th of July holiday weekend. I'm eager to hear how Hancock was.
Did you never get your money back?
No.
And you never went?
How?
Never saw it. No, that was my one chance. That was the one day I had time to go to the movies because it was plotted in.
2 weeks.
Yes, that was the only chance I had.
All right, fantastic. Also on today's Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Harvey Levin, catch up with him, find out what's going on with TMZ.com.
Yeah, I only have 4 words that I need to say to Harvey Levin, and that's Vern Troyer sex tape. That's all I care about.
Oh,
wasn't aware of that.
Oh yeah.
But good?
Really?
What do you mean, ew?
Ew. I don't even think I'd watch it if it was right in front of me.
That's something that you have to watch for at least a few seconds so that you can see it.
Like two girls, one cup?
Yes. Thank you.
Like it's worse.
You have to give it three seconds.
Worse than that?
I think it is. Wow. I love that stuff. Like the BME Pain Olympics. I'm the guy bringing you guys the videos that everybody shies away from.
Yeah, but that's different. That's personal mutilation.
The Vern Troyer is disgusting. It's disgusting. It's repulsive.
I'm going to say, I don't want to give too much away, get into too much detail about what happens, but at one point he does disappear. You can't even see. Well, you can just see his feet.
Oh, my God.
All right, so that's coming up this morning. And also lame ways that you hurt yourself we're going to talk about. Ridiculously stupid way.
Sure.
And I think this is based on a baseball player that's out for the season because he was moving a pillow. Do I have that right?
I think that's right. Yes. I believe that's right.
Baseball. That's what I'm saying about baseball. So we'll do all that. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz. Why are you wearing a Batman mask?
Because I'm Batman.
Full black head mask with giant bat ears.
People are who they are inside, Rachel. I'm Batman.
I'm not not Rachel. Are you going to wear that all day?
You look like Rachel.
It's kind of hot, isn't it?
Yes, I am hot. Thank you very much.
It's also radio, so only we can see it.
Look, the best part about coming back from vacation is all the crap that accumulates in the mailroom for you while you're gone. It's like Christmas morning. You come after 2 weeks, and it's just a pile of boxes on your desk. And you have to tear into them. And I found this inside one of them.
All right.
And so I think for the rest of the day, I'll wear this.
Whatever makes you happy.
Because I'm Batman. Rachel.
This is Adam West. Get a life, Ralph.
It is kind of hot. Can I get a second to get this off?
Sure.
I'm sweating like a... You
take it off first thing. It does not look like a cool mask, I'll tell you that.
No, it's latex.
Oh, jeez.
Tiny little holes for his eyes. Ooh, it's stuck.
Oh,
nice.
My God.
Jesus. Pulled off three layers of skin getting that off.
It's bright red.
Alex said in the other room, what's the difference between a Batman mask and an S&M mask? I said, not much, really, when you put it on. Just the ears and the ball gag. That's the only thing it's missing. What's up, people?
How was your holiday, dude?
It was good and bad.
Good and bad.
Yes.
Okay. You can tell us about that later?
Holidays are often that way.
I'll tell you about the good part and then the bad part.
All right.
Did you travel at all, or was it all spent in the Valley? Because why would anyone ever want to leave the Valley?
Why would you leave during the 80th anniversary celebration of Studio City? That's what I wanted
exactly.
to know.
Exactly.
I don't know. 150 degrees is part of why am I considering leaving?
It was only that about 4 days out of the vacation.
Yeah.
Got to around 200.
But for you... Okay. That's like 400.
Yeah.
I mean, you do not like your heat.
No, but we had the pool and stuff. So we were able to survive, and then it got reasonable.
Were you in some kind of parade for the Sherman Oaks or whatever it was?
Studio City.
Studio City.
80th anniversary.
They do have a parade on the 4th of July.
They don't really, though.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
I bet it's great.
Big fireworks celebration.
And it is great.
So I could see from my window. That was cool.
Seeing that's cool.
Fireworks from your balcony is pretty cool.
I can see them from my window as well.
There you go. Yeah, because you were the one setting them off. That's why. This is professionally done, my set of fireworks. We'll talk more about Kevin's pyromania later.
How dare you?
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies over the long holiday weekend, shall we? Boy, that Hancock. People sure like their Hancock. Don't you like Hancock? I'm a big fan of Hancock.
Are you talking about the movie?
Yes, of course I'm talking about the movie. $66 million it made in its debut weekend.
I thought the first hour and 5 minutes was an A.
And then
the remaining part of it was a C.
Ooh.
Really? I loved it.
But
I loved
it
top to bottom.
It didn't ruin it. It just was not as good.
This is one of those films where every once in a while you were just wildly in direct opposition to what the critics are saying.
Yeah.
Oh, they dumped all over this movie.
Did they? Yeah.
33% positive reviews is all they got.
And so I went, I was lucky enough to get invited to the premiere, which was big fun, and I went and saw the film, and maybe it's because my expectations were low, because I had heard the buzz, but
yeah,
I really, really liked it.
Yeah,
I thought it was strong.
I liked it a lot better. If they said they didn't like it,
people were rough on it, but I really enjoyed it.
Although the critics are always the opposite of the way I think, so.
I know, but usually I'm pretty much in line with them. That's why it's even more shocking when it happens to me. Now I know what you feel like.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, I like that. What's wrong with those people? Anyway, it did very well in its opening weekend. WALL-E was number two at the box office. $33 million made over the weekend. Then Wanted, the new Angelina Jolie thriller. Get Smart, number four at the box office. Kung Fu Panda.
Hey!
The Incredible Hulk. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which I went to see this weekend. Couldn't find it anywhere. It's already out of theaters.
Well, they must just be seeing it in the Midwest then.
I guess.
Still on your list.
That was one that was a B for the first half and an F minus for the last half. It was a rough one.
Kit Kittredge, An American Girl.
I don't know what that is.
It's a new Abigail Breslin movie. You know the little girl from Little Miss Sunshine?
Oh, cute girl, yeah.
She plays a girl in the Depression-era America, apparently, where she, I don't know, her and Daddy Warbucks and her dog Sandy saved the world or something. But
wait a second.
It's based on the dolls, the very popular dolls, the American Girl dolls. Yeah. And if you know, if anything about movies, when they base them on dolls, they got to be good.
A1.
Yes.
Let's keep that in mind when G.I. Joe comes out.
That's right. Sex in the City was number 9 at the box office, and You Don't Mess with the Zohan, coming in at number 10, because Kevin went back 19 times this weekend. That's why kept it in the number 1. Is Madonna banging A-Rod? That seems to be the big showbiz story over the weekend. Is she leaving her husband, Guy Ritchie, as she's splitting up Alec Rodriguez's marriage in order for them to be together? Well,
he's the stud on the Yankees, right?
He is the stud first baseman on the Yankees. Good-looking dude. Very popular in New York City. Good player.
Highest paid player in baseball.
Still, wow.
Madonna is, of course, denying it. She released a statement yesterday to People magazine saying that she is not involved with Alex Rodriguez and that she is not getting a divorce from her husband, Guy Ritchie.
Well, then we know both of those things are true.
What, both of those things are true?
Yeah.
You mean they're lying?
Yeah.
They are involved and she is getting a divorce?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Lisa knows. Why am I bothered with the story?
Come on. I would guess so.
Upon hearing that she is not getting a divorce from Guy Ritchie burst into tears. Yeah. Thought he was out, and they drag him back in.
A-Rod could do better, by the way.
No kidding.
Yeah, really, no kidding. He doesn't need anyone 50. That's
she's famous.
Sure.
I get that she's famous, but she's beef jerky now.
The only use he should have for Madonna is swinging at a baseball with her.
Yes, that's right.
That's the only
batting
thing
practice.
Really
that's it.
Be useful for it. But she is built like an Adirondack slugger or whatever those bats are called.
Yeah, she's not hot and he doesn't need the money, so what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point?
And he's meanwhile famous enough. Cynthia Rodriguez, Alex's soon-to-be ex-wife, they just filed for divorce today, apparently.
Okay, that did happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
They both filed for divorce in family court in Miami this morning, so apparently they are going through with their divorce. However, Madonna's claiming she's not the cause of it. Cynthia spent the weekend at Lenny Kravitz's.
Uh-oh.
Fueling rumors that she's involved with him.
Oh.
And she's denying that, of course.
Calling
everyone's
her a
denying
hoe?
Everything.
Ho!
Oh. Everyone is denying everything.
Yeah, nothing's so happening.
Nothing's
people.
Happening.
Nothing's
move
happening
along.
With
nothing
anyone.
To see here. Move along. That's what
I think it's. I think it's good that the Rodriguezes are breaking up because their youngest is, well, he's 11 weeks old now.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to move on.
The kids had almost too much time with dad.
That's rough.
Right.
At 11 weeks. This is my favorite part of the story. The New York Daily News, however, is claiming that the relationship between Madonna and Alex Rodriguez could be destiny.
Why?
A confidant of Cynthia Rodriguez, Alex's soon-to-be ex-wife, says that she found letters from her husband to Madonna claiming that she is his soulmate and that they've been brought together via the magic of Kabbalah.
Oh, yes.
So Cynthia thinks maybe Madonna has been brainwashing her man with Kabbalah, so maybe that's the reason why.
I think this is a silly story.
I'm sorry, it's showbiz news. They're all silly. What do you want from me? Chase Crawford, Private Eye, is one of the most eligible bachelors in Hollywood. He, of course, on the Gossip Girl over there on the CW. Never have I seen so much fame around actors on a show that barely anyone is watching. Chase
it's
Crawford.
It's almost dead last in the ratings. It almost is the lowest rated show of all of them.
And these kids are just superstars.
Yeah,
everyone's
you're
talking about them. Yeah. Who's the blonde? Blake Lively, right? Yeah. She's the star in that.
Lively.
She's in all the press all the time. Apparently, he is very sought after by young Hollywood. He was recently at a party, according to the New York Post, where Rumor Willis and Brittany Gastineau were both fighting over him.
What?
All right, maybe he's not that big
a
star.
Come on.
But Rumor Willis and Brittany Gastineau apparently were fighting over
things that are dumb.
For 500.
For 500, Alex.
Yeah. So apparently, daughters of used-to-be celebrities apparently are very attracted to Chase Crawford.
Not
Private
right?
Eye. And more in the world of celebrity relationship news. Britney Spears is apparently still seeing, wait for it, Adnan Galib.
Yes. No, are you kidding?
Yes. Really?
Glendale?
TMZ.com is reporting that the photographer has snuck into her gated community and spent time with her over the past week or so.
Good bro.
And that news is not going over well at the Spears home. Apparently, neither her psychiatric doctors nor her father, Jamie Spears, thinks the couple reconnecting is good for her condition, as they're calling it, in air quotes.
It was when she finally split from him that she started to improve, right?
Yes. That was the beginning of her upswing.
Adnan? Mm-hmm.
When she dumped him.
Dude, bro. Yeah.
How do you feel? Are you back together with Brittany, Adnan?
You know what it is, bro, huh?
Well, what were you spending time over there
you
for?
You need a refi?
I don't need a refi. No, I'm good.
I do Studio City, huh?
No, I appreciate that, but I'm good with the deal I got now. But right. What were you doing with
you
Brittany?
You need Sidekick, T-Mobile.
No, I don't need,
huh?
I need, I do need good, any bro. Sort of handheld friend, electronics friend, whatsoever. Bro. I don't need friend, any of those. Bro. I'm fine. Thank you.
All right.
What were you doing with Brittany, though, is the question.
The Prince of Persia. You know, I give it to her good like that, huh? She good bitch.
She's a good bitch. That's all you need to say. And here's some relationship news we can get behind. And I'd like to get behind you, you know what I'm saying? Megan Fox has reportedly split with her fiancé, Brian Austin Green.
Booyah!
That's the best news ever.
That's what I'm talking about.
According to sources, Megan allegedly felt that she was too young to settle down with a guy who's 11 years older than she is.
She has got a tremendous set of boobs.
And she felt like it was time for them to split and start seeing other people and going other ways.
Cannons, people! Big old boobies!
Yeah. So.
Giant-sized cannons.
And Jack White of the White Stripes and Raconteurs is also a poet. Did you know that?
I did not.
He's a poet, and he wants you to know it. Oh, how did I do it? Just being rested from the vacation. Let's make that kind of comedy possible. He is from Detroit, and he says some of his comments about his hometown have been taken out of context when he moved to Nashville a couple years ago. So he's written a poem about his hometown of Detroit. And it was published yesterday in the Detroit Free Press newspaper there locally in Detroit. It's called Courageous Dreams Concern. And here's an excerpt.
Who wrote that? Don't tell?
Here's an excerpt of Jack White's poem about Detroit.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. I didn't make this up. This is what he wrote.
All right.
Amongst other things. Detroit, you hold what one's been seeking, holding off the coward army's weakling, always rising from the ashes, not returning to the earth. It's just a little piece of...
Things that are dumb.
Courageous Dreams Concern.
Are you kidding?
You can read the whole poem at the website for the Detroit Free Press. It's
I don't even know what that means.
That's
too cool for you, man. It's too hip for you.
That's dumb.
If you think it's dumb, you just don't get it.
You're right.
Says M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong. Today's celebrity birthday is Georgia Fox from CSI. At least she was on CSI until they dropped a car on her.
Bell, right? Bell for Georgia?
No.
No, not so
much. I don't think so.
Okay. No.
Maybe before the car.
Yeah. Wasn't sure.
Thought I did.
Yeah, she's sort of, kind of good looking sometimes.
In a manly way?
Yeah. And she's all sort of gap toothy and scrawny and whatnot.
That's the one where you reach for the Bella and then you go, no.
It's Bellus Interruptus, is what that is. She is 40 years old today. Ringo Starr, drummer for the legendary Beatles, is 68 years old today. And the reason, though, we celebrate, not just because it's a fresh new day, we're all back from vacation, but we get to celebrate the birthday of David Hodo.
Oh, David Hodo. Hey. He
How
does
great
good
is
work.
He? How great's David Hodo?
I don't know who that is.
He's the construction worker from the Village People. David Hodo celebrates his 61st birthday today.
Wow.
Yeah. It would suck to be a
61-year-old guy of the Village People. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
Wow.
Yeah. The only people more obsessed with hating old people than Kevin are gay people.
Is that right?
They like the youngins. Yeah. Once you get old as a gay man, your life is pretty much over.
They just leave you out.
Yeah, that's when you have to move from West Hollywood to Silver Lake or someplace. They literally force you out of the city limits when you hit like 40. So David's now crying at his...
he's been crying for a long time.
Arbor Mist or whatever they're drinking these days.
Just how great is male ass?
It's pretty great. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This morning at 8 o'clock and then at noon, 4 and 8 today, you can score an Xbox 360. You can score Rock Band and tickets to the Mayhem Festival.
Wow.
How much Rock Band did you play over the holidays there, Kevin?
All of it.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Every waking moment.
And I am all the way up into the 70 percentile range, which is not good at all.
What's your best song? What's the best number you have on Rock Band?
Probably My Hero. Foo Fighters, maybe, or something like that. I don't know.
Sweet.
Plus, Friday morning, we are going to pick somebody who wins a helicopter trip to the show, and you get to kick it backstage with Disturbed, and I think you get to play Rock Band with them.
And by show, you mean the Mayhem Festival, which is coming up. And it's going to be the Hyundai Pavilion with Slipknot, Mastodon, and a ton of other bands. All the details at KROQ.com. So we have that for you all this week here on the world-famous KROQ. And again, your chance to win in the 8 o'clock hour. So I was thinking, once the last season of The Hills ended, that that was it. We were done for a while with Spencer and Heidi. I thought we don't have to hear about them anymore because they're not on the TV every week, right?
It never ends, dog.
No kidding.
It never ends.
You would think that.
I'm long eternal. Again. I'm eternal, just like Heidi. Yeah.
Spencer Pratt from The Hills joins us in the studio. Yeah, the world famous K-Rock.
What's up? All right.
You're the only one applauding, Spencer. Yeah. You're the only one applauding. No one right. else is excited to see you.
No problem, Betty.
Let's talk about this this eternal thing. That was one of the stories that happened while we were on vacation. I'm going to let you explain what was said and why.
Yeah, what's the eternal thing? What does that mean?
It just means what it is, you know? It's like people are always trying to come at me, haters. Mm-hmm. People right. are trying to come at my girl, mm-hmm. Heidi. You know, and it's just the same way that Jesus was persecuted and people never really believed him about what he was saying and his powers. It's the same goes for the, you know, the Spidey.
You're not comparing yourself and Heidi to Jesus.
You're right. I wouldn't want to put myself in that low of a category. We're a little bit different. We're a little bit above and beyond. You know why?
Why?
Diamond-encrusted hoodies.
And no. Jesus didn't have those, did he?
No, I did a Google search of that Jesus did, and he had, like, whack-ass loincloth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I have way cool stuff. You I know? Don't think Look they at my made... hoodie right now. It has a skull and a rose.
But I don't think they made diamond-encrusted hoodies back in Jesus' day.
Aha, uh-huh, touche.
But doesn't he win? He may not have had the hoodie, but doesn't he win by, oh, I don't know, being the Son of God? Isn't that better?
Nah.
Change water into wine?
You know what I'm
Anything
saying?
Like that?
You
Heal people?
Check the bank statement right now. You know what I'm saying? Spidey's making mad Skrilla scratch paper. Looks like Jesus was a man of meager means. Sucks to be him.
Here's the quote from your girlfriend, Heidi. She was asked once again, as she always is, about the feud with you guys and Elsie. I don't even want to talk about that, she says. There were rumors about a sex tape, but I had nothing to do with that. God knows the truth in all of this, and at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. Jesus was persecuted, and I'm going to get persecuted, you know, but it doesn't matter to me. That's
believe
what Heidi said.
Believe that. She speaks the truth. You know, she's more than just beauty and brains.
But could
she's
it
everything?
Couldn't it possibly? I mean, there are two alternatives there. Couldn't it be yes, Jesus was persecuted, and you and Heidi are persecuted
right?
as well?
Yes.
Or you guys are gigantic a holes and deserve what you're getting.
I'm
has
gonna,
really
I'm
has nothing to do with
the former.
Jesus.
I'm going to opt for the former. Listen to me. All right.
Okay.
All right, Kapuya. Mm-hmm. Listen. There's
Kevin.
We have all the three W's it takes to be a supreme being.
Okay.
We're wealthy,
mm-hmm.
we're white,
mm-hmm.
and we're waifish.
And you have to be that to be a supreme being?
Emaciatedly thin.
There's no.
You gotta have bank, and you gotta be Aryan.
Well, you know, if you look historically, he's absolutely right.
God is not fat.
Yeah.
No, he certainly was white.
Hey, Lupita, for once, you speak the truth. I actually Lisa. Appreciate your comments, Lupita. Thanks.
Uh-huh. But how does it,
Muhammad,
I mean.
They all were like that.
Sure. Yeah. They're all white guys, right? Yeah. Everyone knows Buddha was a white dude. Sir. So. How is it persecution? I mean, you get stuff written about you in Us Weekly. Jesus was nailed to a freaking cross through his hands and feet. I mean, is there any comparison really in the persecution?
Yeah. You should have seen what they wrote about me in Us Weekly a couple weeks ago. And don't even start me on Harvey Levin. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but what Bean is saying is that's nothing compared to giant nails getting driven
You're
through
right.
your hand.
Giant nails is like, whatever, that'll heal. The scars in my heart may never heal.
I see.
You know what I'm saying, dog?
So you're sticking with this whole Jesus thing.
You growing a goatee? It looks pretty sick.
I'm not, no.
Check out my neck beard, dog.
That is nice.
Yeah.
We're dying to ask you to leave, but before you go, I have to ask this, because you launched Spidey Web while we were on vacation. It's your new social networking site, and you say that it is – here's the quote from you, Spencer. You told Extra Television. It's going to be bigger than MySpace – bigger than Facebook.
That's right. You know, I just got to keep, like, sometimes I just spout off. I mean, it's definitely the truth. But sometimes I spout off about how great things are going to be.
Right.
You know, Heidi's music career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we spent the weekend working on that in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And
is she going to do well with that?
Oh, dude, her new album, dog, it's hot.
Okay.
It's going to be bigger than anything Madonna ever did, times 50.
Times 50.
To the power of a million.
She's pretty successful, Madonna.
Whatever.
Okay.
And then you know, our new website, it's pretty much just going to, like, they're just going to call it the Spencer Web. They're not even going to really look at it as a website. We're going to take over the whole internet. Interspence. Whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying, dog?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, JFK Rockefeller Jr. said.
I don't think that's...
Speak softly.
That's not even a person.
That's not one person.
Speak softly.
Uh-huh.
Tube steak.
That's, he didn't say that at all. What kind of a response is, huh?
Whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just like...
Okay.
It's just like, you know, throw your hoodie on, hit Bloomingdale's, call it a day as the sunset shines on, cowboy.
All right.
I'll see you at Les Dunes.
No idea what you're saying right now.
All right. I know less now than before you walked in the room.
I know
here,
the
Spencer,
bouncer,
but...
dog. I'll get you in.
Of course. Okay.
All right.
I'll see you there tonight at 11.
Peace out, y'all.
Really, I spent most of my vacation just going, I wonder what Harvey's doing now.
Yeah.
I miss Harvey. I can't wait to come back to talk to Harvey.
I wonder if Harvey has people over right now.
Hey, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. How are you, man?
Hi, guys. How was the vacation?
Very good.
Yeah.
Crappy.
It was great for everybody except for Bean, whose vacation is always crappy because, you know, he's Bean.
Well, there are different reasons, but it's always crappy.
I kind of heard. Who got called the a-hole? I forgot.
That was me, Kevin.
Oh, that's Kevin.
That was Kevin. But that's the same as being here. Well, anyway, Harvey, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. We certainly have missed you for 2 weeks. There's so much stuff going on, but I have to start with one of the funniest things I've ever seen on your site is the Vern Troyer sex tape. And is it for real? He's suing you for the clip that you put up at TMZ.com?
He's suing us for $20 million.
Wow.
Cool.
That's a lot of money for a midget. I mean, think about it.
Yeah, you know, he's got a little bit of a problem here. His sex partner kind of authorized the whole thing.
Oh, that makes it completely legal, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so it looks like she's actually out trying to sell this thing. I mean, in long form, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah,
right.
I haven't seen it yet, but Bean is, his eyes might be scarred for life, he says.
Yes.
This one is weird because the part that is just the hardest thing to watch is the kiss.
Yeah.
Really?
You know what it looks like, Harvey? It looks to me like when you see those women in Beverly Hills that have the little yip yip dogs in their purse, and then they let them lick their faces. That's what it looks like. When Vern Troyer is kissing on his girlfriend, it's like a little puppy licking your face.
Was he licking her?
You just got to see that.
Oh, I don't think I do.
I like the disgust.
Is he like a lizard?
Everybody that's seen it is so disgusted.
It's rough.
You just got to see it.
You know,
it's amazing.
Wasn't the initial word that she said it was stolen? At first, she was denying any involvement?
She said it on the radio, but I don't know where that came from, but it wasn't.
Mm. It wasn't. You don't sound like you're nervous about this lawsuit. It sounds to me like they just did it almost for show and publicity, right?
I mean, the big thing is he's talking about invasion of privacy, but he taped it. And, I mean, do you have any doubt that he was out to sell it?
I can't imagine. I mean, listen, let's be honest. We've said before, don't tape yourself having sex. You don't look as good as you feel. That's real, and it will always come back and bite you in the ass.
Right.
But, I mean, you don't look as good as you feel, especially if you're 3 feet tall. I mean, let's be honest.
I think, Harvey, one of the descriptions on your site, you said more people have seen this sex video than saw The Love Guru. So this is really the biggest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is the biggest movie Vern Troyer's been in all year.
The biggest movie.
I loved what you also said on the site, which is that TMZ was being sued for $20 million, and they could not be reached for comment.
By the way, I have a lawyer question for you while we're talking about sex tapes. The videotape that we didn't see because it was illegal, R. Kelly, since now that he's been found innocent, is that videotape not guilty? Is that videotape okay?
Well, no. It still involves an underage, that's a good question because they found him not guilty, but did they find him not guilty because she was overage, underage? They never really ruled on that.
Right.
I mean, it could be that it just wasn't him, but it's still an underage girl, and if it's an underage girl, it's child pornography.
Oh, I see.
Well, okay. They also said it wasn't her.
Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, they said a whole bunch of things, but when the jury verdict comes in, it's simply not guilty, and it could be not guilty for a variety of reasons. And if a prosecutor decides that she was underage and then somebody else starts dealing with it, they could be prosecuted, too.
Okay, then we still haven't seen it.
Well, there you go.
Right, exactly.
Right. Your story and you're sticking with it.
Right.
All right, Harvey, give us the latest on what's going on with this bizarre Lenny Kravitz, Alex Rodriguez, Madonna, and Cynthia Rodriguez, this crazy foursome. What's real?
20 minutes ago. ago, Cynthia Rodriguez, Alex's wife, filed for divorce. In Miami, she has officially filed. I talked to her lawyer last night at length, and he said a whole bunch of things to me. He says not only is A-Rod having an affair with Madonna, but it has been going on as recently, certainly he says, as yesterday.
Oh, because she's denying everything, right?
She's denying everything. He's denying everything. He is saying flat out they have been having an affair. It's the last straw. She is emotionally devastated. She was not sleeping with Lenny Kravitz, according to him. They are friends, but she was not sleeping with him. He is worth a fortune. He's worth $250 million. And he says the settlement here is going to be huge. There's a prenup, but the way he's kind of framing this thing and the way this has been filed and what's been said, I'm thinking this could really be a nasty divorce, and especially with Madonna in the middle of this.
Isn't he in his second $250 million contract?
No,
he's not.
It was
okay.
It was a 10-year contract when he signed it. So
he's worth $250.
Okay,
at least minimum.
Unbelievable.
But here's my question for you, Harvey. And of course, it's impossible for us to put ourselves in their home, and we don't really know what their relationship is like. But how emotionally devastated could she be about the affair with Madonna when he so publicly had that girlfriend showed up in four or five different cities a couple of years ago? I mean, he was cheating all over the place. It can't be that much of a surprise to her.
That's what the lawyer was saying. He's saying that this was the last straw, but there were a series of things, he says, that ultimately caused this, and that Madonna was just, you know, the final.
Here's what happens, though, when lawyers get involved, and we all hate lawyers, right? Oh, wait, Harvey's a lawyer. I'm sorry. No, but what happens is, you know, she probably is just angry and hates him, but, you know, the language...
But she did just have a baby, too.
Yeah,
that doesn't
but
help.
How much was he around? I mean, let's be honest.
Well, he told me that he's seen this baby that they had 6 weeks ago once and maybe twice.
Her lawyer, right? Is that...
Her lawyer told me that A-Rod has seen the baby once, maybe twice, since the baby was
right,
born.
So I'm saying, how devastated can she be? She's got to be angry, but she just wants money, so she's emotionally damaged and everything else. F her.
It could be.
Oh, my God. Well,
this is kind of interesting. So guess what his lawyer's name is, because we found out who his lawyer is.
His lawyer. Harvey Levin? Nope.
I'm sorry. I just had to tell somebody here.
What's happening? Do you need us to call the authorities? You all right?
Oh, no. I had to tell my guy something.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So tell us the lawyer's name.
The lawyer's name, I apologize, it's Elegant. His last name is Elegant, isn't that?
Elegant.
Ira Elegant.
Wow.
Sounds like a lame superhero.
It does.
who, by the way, represented Shaq.
No kidding.
Oh, okay.
His superpower beat is just dressing nicely.
It does sound like Ira Elegant versus the Dark Knight, a new Batman movie. All right. Well, this one is either going to be ugly or it's going to be settled very quickly. A large check will be written and then it'll all go away.
I got to tell you, I don't think this is going to be settled quickly, the way this sounds, and especially
excellent.
With Madonna in the middle of this thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's always, now what's going to be interesting is her people are coming out flat on saying this is absolute BS, that there's no way there's a relationship. His people are saying the same thing, and now she has just squarely come out. I mean, she's just brazen saying, of course there's a relationship. That's what's going on here. That's why I'm leaving him. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting today to see what Madonna's people say, if anything. I mean, are they just going to hunker down and say nothing? But it is weird. I mean, she hasn't been named as the other person in the divorce, but it's as much as being named.
Can they get involved, and can Madonna take some kind of legal action against A-Rod's wife?
Well, I suppose. I mean, but, you know, if she wants to sue, I mean, you know, truth is a defense in a situation like that. So the issue is, and the other thing is, you know, anything said in court is protected. But he did tell me this flat out, and that wasn't protected. So her lawyer feels confident enough to tell me and for us to publish it. So it'll be interesting to see what she does. I doubt she's going to sue for this. I mean, I can't imagine she's going to sue for this.
Is it true that she's worked out so much that her arms are now beef jerky?
Well, can can I tell you something? I too went on a vacation, and I went to London.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, most people go to, you know, the Tower of London,
right.
Parliament. I went to Madonna's house.
I'll bet she was happy to see you.
Well, I just wanted to see it. So I go there, and it's this kind of three-story a three-story house. And so next door, there's this big construction project, right? I mean, and they're like 2 inches apart. So right next door, there's this huge house, equally as big, totally under construction. So I went up to one of the construction guys, and I said, what's going on there? And he said, that's Madonna's gym. She's building a three-story gym. This has got to be like 12,000 square feet.
Wait a minute. You're talking about the house that was under construction next to the mansion.
Next to the mansion.
Was just going to be her gym.
It's exactly the same size. It's three stories. It's huge. And he said specifically it is her gym, period.
She needs to use it a little less and maybe build a dessert bar in there. Gain a little weight.
Exactly.
Come on.
This is insane.
She's not attractive.
Harvey, it's great to catch up with you again. We totally missed you during vacation. We're happy to be back. TMZ.com, of course, the entertainment news site of record, and TMZ Television airs weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. Have a great one, Harvey. Thanks. We had a big party at my house for the 4th of July. My dad was in town. It was his 70th birthday, by the way. The chief is 70 now, if you
wow.
read it. And there was this guy at my party who was on crutches in a cast, and I said, what up? And he said, I didn't think it was as far as it turned out being. I decided to, rather than go out of my apartment and down the stairs to go see my friend on the street, I would just jump off the balcony, because he thought it was apparently much closer than it was. Ended up breaking his leg in three places. He'd love to have that decision back, and we're going to be looking for the lamest ways you hurt yourself. This isn't a guy who is dodging a Humvee coming at him or something like that. This is a guy who is trying to save 30 seconds and stepped off a balcony, and now he's going to be wearing a cast for the whole summer.
Oh, my God.
So if you hurt yourself in a lame way, we need you between 7 and 7:30 here on the Kevin Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, Afro Line on the air, 323-520-AFRO.
I hate this heat. I hate it, but not as much as that douche Psycho Mike.
Yeah, I think he speaks for us all.
Certainly. How hot was it down there this holiday weekend?
All of it. All the heat. Whatever the heat available was, it was all.
I kissed Psycho Mike and he liked it. The feel of his flexing biceps.
All right. Katy Perry follow-up song there.
Okay, then. Hey, celebrity sighting.
Hey, I just saw Maroon 5 at City Walk on Thursday. They were just walking around, and no, Kevin, I did not give some love to Maroon 5.
All right.
Hey, Ralph.
F you. Here's a question that has been bugging this guy for quite some time.
Hey, question for you guys. How do blind people know when they're done wiping their butt?
Well, without getting into too much detail, you don't really look at it.
Clearly, they have people who do that. So, you know.
Really? They have someone that follows them around
all the
time?
The rich ones do, yeah.
Hey, Lisa May, what say you come over to my house and we play Deadliest Catch? You know, where you jump on my big ship and... you catch crabs? What do you think?
Wow, that's
so tempting. Smooth. Our listeners are hot.
That guy's smooth, isn't he?
Yes.
Lisa's clearly bothered by that. She's sweating a little bit.
Getting hot.
Mugs, our intern. We call him that because he has a beer mug tattoo literally on the top of his foot.
Yeah.
He was very excited over our vacation.
Hey, it's Mugs. Letting you guys know that I just invented something. Beer Slurpee. I love Beer Slurpee. I made Beer Slurpee. I'm out.
I'm guessing, I don't know here, but I'm guessing he's not the first person to put ice with beer.
Yeah, I think you're right about
probably.
That.
Probably. Our listeners are lawbreakers. That's what I know about them.
Yo, Kevin and Bean! Check it out. I'm breaking the law. I'll tell you how. You know that new cell phone law? Yeah, well, guess what I'm doing? I'm talking on the cell phone while I'm driving. That's my way of breaking the law, baby. Woo-hoo! Yeah, rebel in the house is out. Oh, shizzies.
He's a bandito.
He is crazy, that guy.
Plays by his own rules.
A lot of people say, Kevin Bean, how do you do it? We go on vacation. When we come back, nothing but love.
Kevin and Bean, I miss you guys. I miss you. Where are you? I don't miss Lisa, though.
Oh, dare
you come at her like that?
Please, don't come back. It's better without you guys.
we're happier. Go on infinite vacation or die.
Or die.
If infinite vacation is not an option, die. Well, at least we got one guy that loves us.
Yeah, so I guess it's the worst day of the year, the day you guys return. That sucks. Lose for everybody.
That's our new slogan. Lose for everybody.
Aww.
323-520-AFRO is the number, and we will...
And in the 8 o'clock hour this morning on our show, how about calling us for an Xbox 360, a copy of Rock Band, and tickets to the upcoming Mayhem Festival. Plus, Friday morning, we're doing a grand prize drawing to travel like Kevin does in a helicopter to the Mayhem show and play Rockstar backstage with a Rock Band backstage with the band Disturbed. All that coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
There it is now.
Why, the helicopter is just now landing.
6:49, it is Monday, a return of the Kevin DeBede Show. Wow, it is landing. See? Just in time for Ralph to step out and give us the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Hancock, number one by a long shot. $66 million it made this weekend. I loved it. A lot of critics didn't care for it, but I loved it.
I thought it was really good and then good.
You didn't like the sort of the fantastical aspect of the stories that would bug you?
Yeah, that kind of bugged me.
Yeah.
But it
well,
didn't...
You're not a guy who's a flight of fancy kind of guy.
No, I'm not.
You're more of a salt of the earth kind of guy.
But it also didn't ruin it for me. I mean, I thought it was still good. It just wasn't as good as the beginning, that's all. But I liked it. Overall.
This was Will Smith's 8th number one movie in a row, by the way. I mean, there are very few box office stars as reliable as Will.
And let me tell you something. I think this is his best performance in a long time.
Yeah, he was good.
I saw I Am Legend, and I thought, wow, he cannot really pull off too much stretching when it comes to the roles that he's given. And this is an unlikely role for him where he has to play kind of an a-hole. And when Will isn't being sort of Will... I find him sort of hard to buy into.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I thought he was really good in this. Kind of acquitted himself great. Jason Bateman just keeps
always
getting better
great.
With every movie he's in.
Love him. Yep. Love
and
him.
And Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Just forget about her.
It's a shame she's not hot, huh?
It's nuts how talented and amazingly beautiful she is. It's freakish.
You know what? I think she is gorgeous. I think she is an incredibly, incredibly attractive person. The only thing I am worried about is getting a boner.
I had a chance to hang out with Charlize a little bit at the premiere party. And I will recount that conversation with you later today.
Was she walking around the premiere party with you hanging onto her leg?
No. She was walking around the premiere party looking for me. And then we finally ran into each other. And hilarity ensued.
Sure.
So I had friends in town. I'll tell you a story later, but I had friends in town from England. My wife's best friend lives in England.
Okay.
And so her best friend and her husband came to stay with us over our vacation, spent a little time with us.
All right.
And so just so happened it coincided with the premiere. So I said, wouldn't it be fun to take these out-of-towners to a big Hollywood premiere?
Sure.
So they got a chance to meet Charlize, and Charlize acted as if... her longtime friends from England were in town. Could not have been nicer to these people, hugging them, kissing them, taking photos. That's the kind of broad we're talking
about.
Is
it possible she was just glad to talk to someone besides you?
Wrong, sir. Incorrect, sir.
I will say I hosted the red carpet for Hancock, so I saw Charlize before Ralph did. And after I brought her up on the podium and asked her the, you know, stupid questions and stuff, I walked down with her, and the first thing she said to me is, she's all, hey, where's Ralph? So.
That's what I'm talking about!
How hot did you look, by the way, in front of your wife and her friends, though, Ralph? How much of the man were you that Charlize pretended to know you?
Here's my buddy Charlize. We should go hang with her for a while at her table. Let's all go sit down there, shall we? I'm a little tired of hanging out with her, but if you guys want to meet her, I'll put up
all
with
right.
her. She can go, blah, 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 blah. She keeps talking at me all night long.
How do you know that after you left, she didn't lean over to her friend and say, thought they'd never leave?
Because that's not her way.
All right.
Because she is... honest and pure and true.
She's the best person in the world
ever.
She
is the best person in the world ever. Number two at the box office, WALL-E. Had a chance to hang out with the robot WALL-E over the weekend, too.
That was fun.
It couldn't have been nicer. Just took some photos with my friends.
He's hot.
Beep, 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 beep. Oh, he's great.
I hear that's great, by the way, the WALL-E.
I heard that as well.
I saw that.
Yeah?
Yeah?
And it's fantastic for kids.
Pixar. You can't beat Pixar.
But it's one of those that's good enough that the adults like it too.
That's their magic. Yeah. They seem to pull it off. They're able to make it watchable for adults while you're taking your kids to the movies. That's a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
Number three, Wanted at the box office this weekend. You
loved
saw that
it.
Too?
Loved it.
You're just a movie going freak, aren't you?
Loved it. Too bad she's not hot.
Angelina Jolie?
Yeah,
she's a beast.
What a shame that is, huh?
That's stupid. She's ugly.
She's not ugly with her tattoos everywhere and her ugliness.
At least her name wasn't The Fox. At least that wasn't her name.
Get Smart, number 4 at the box office. Kevin, see that?
Saw it.
And?
Jeez. Liked it better than the critics seemed to?
You're freaking Ebert.
No job.
That's the dude with no job?
Yeah, that's the dude with no job.
Kung Fu Panda.
Nope.
Hey!
I saw that.
All right.
Good movie. Good.
Liked it a lot. Very entertaining. Incredible Hulk's number 6. Have not seen that yet. Haven't gotten around to that yet. Lisa does an Incredible Hulk impression.
So we need to talk to the Hulk.
Or his sister, Leeka Hulk.
Yes.
Leek Hulk, as we call her. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was number 7 at the box office this weekend. We should talk to Leeka Jones.
I like it.
They all have sisters.
Strange.
That's amazing.
Kittredge, an American Girl, was number 9 of the 8 at the box office. That's for the little girls in your life. All right. Sex and the City was number 9. And you don't mess with the Zohan.
You don't.
He was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Should be dropping off shortly. You know how Kevin loves the Wax Museum stories?
Oh, dear God, I hate
that. So I just want to get a chance to sneak this one in before I moved on with other showbiz news. Looks like someone else hates Wax Museums almost as much as Kevin.
Good.
Well, certain members of the Wax Museum community.
Oh, good.
A dude went into the Madame Tussauds in Berlin and took the head off the brand new wax figure of Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Titler.
Yeah, apparently the museum opened on Saturday. Brand new museum and the wax figure of the Nazi dictator, as he might have appeared in the bunker during the last days of the Third Reich. Apparently a guy got pushed away a couple of rent-a-cops who were guarding the exhibit and ripped Adolf's head off before being arrested.
There are very few people in this world that pretty much everyone can agree on, and they should just leave it that way. Just leave his head gone.
Seriously, in Berlin, you're going to have a wax figure of Adolf Hitler?
That's true.
Apparently, in Germany, it's illegal to show Nazi symbols or art glorifying Hitler.
Yep. They don't want it to come back. They did not enjoy that
but
part
Adolf
of history.
Thumbs up.
Yes. Adolf, historically, you can have Adolf posing, but you can't really,
glorify him.
Can't throw a party. Yeah. You can't pose with the wax dummy, by the way. That's what the guards were there for. You can't go up there and get your picture taken. Hey, thumbs up, me and Adolf hanging out.
But you have a knife, they'll let you up there.
Well, he just ripped the head off.
Oh, he ripped it off.
He just did it with brute strength, so good for him.
Adolf Titler.
No, it was Adolf Hitler.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Good news for everyone. Smoking hot star of the Transformers, Megan Fox.
Yes.
Apparently has ended her relationship with former Beverly Hills 90210 star Brian Austin Green.
Because we said that wasn't right.
And so she said, those guys may have something there.
Yep.
They were engaged, but apparently that's all over now. Friends say Megan felt she was too young to settle down with a guy who's 11 years older than she is.
Yeah.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Okay.
It's not really a surprise, this whole development, because apparently Megan hasn't been wearing her engagement ring for a while now, and that was the first indicator that things may not be going too well in Austin, Greenland.
Is that a place?
Which is where they call where he lives. Yeah.
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
Mario Lopez says no, he will not pose butt naked for Playgirl. Sorry, Psycho Mike.
Damn it.
No, something you were looking forward to. He said, it's not something for me at the moment.
At the moment.
Wait until my career gets a little bit further down in the rungs, and then I'll take it all off.
This will offend Mike, but I didn't know that Playgirl was still doing the men's spreads. I didn't realize they still published nude photos.
What did you think they were doing these days? Publishing recipes?
I didn't even know there was a Playgirl.
You thought it was canceled by now.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it.
There is a Playgirl.
I didn't know that either.
Mostly the fellas, I think, pick up the Playgirl.
Sure.
I'm not sure a lot of the ladies really are subscribing to Playgirl.
It's never been better.
Really? Yeah. They're still rocking it?
Right now, the writing is just cutting edge. It's really unbelievable.
What would Lindsay Lohan like for her birthday?
Lindsay Lohan.
Growing up at the age of 22 years old, she told a Los Angeles interviewer that her birthday wish is no more paparazzi.
Oh, please. She would die without that.
Then Us Weekly reports that she had 100 of her closest friends join her at Teddy's Nightclub in Hollywood for a party to celebrate her birthday, including Benji and Joel Madden, her mom Dina, Samantha Ronson, the usual cast of characters all showed up at Teddy's, a very, very obscure little club in Hollywood that the paparazzi never hang out.
How could they know she was going to be there?
Oh, no, wait a minute. It's a huge celebrity destination, and she courts this BS.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan.
There they are now.
It's Mike's hard-hitting interview.
And would you like to smell like Kim Kardashian?
Lindsay?
I don't think so.
Rumor has it that she is launching her own fragrance line.
What part of her would we smell like?
All of her, I guess.
Oh, no.
No.
She's hard at work creating her own perfume, and she promises that the scent will be, in her words, uniquely me.
Uh-huh.
Currently, insiders in the fragrance industry speculate that the...
getting through it.
That was Psycho Mike losing it already.
He knows what's coming.
Apparently, the scent will be a combination of hummus, mimosas, and goat cheese stuffed olives.
That does not smell good.
I think you wouldn't think separately those scents would smell good, but in combination,
the mix.
Apparently, the goat cheese just kicks off the sweetness of the mimosa just enough that it just brings you all around back to the hummus.
News for everybody.
Today's celebrity birthday is Georgia Fox from CSI. She is 40 years old today. Ringo Starr, legendary drummer for the Beatles, turned 68. And David Hodo, you know him best as the construction worker of the Village People. Mike knows him best by rolling over this morning and nudging him.
It's true.
A bit. He is a 60. Yes, you can sail the seven seas.
Yes, you can put your mind at ease. Wasn't there a long time when the gayest band of all time was saying they were not gay?
A lot
of them weren't gay.
They used to say, no, we're not a gay band at all. We're just a party band. We're just disco.
And several of the members of the Village People themselves were not gay. That was just...
Bean.
Well, it's Bean, who owns VillagePeople.com, I'm guessing.
I wish.
Gay what?
David Hodo of the Village People is 61 years old today. Ah, to be a 61-year-old construction worker in the Village People.
Doesn't get much better
than
that.
Would you say his best days are behind
him? No. No. If only he was the assless chap-wearing leather dude. Then things would be a little bit better. Who was that guy, by the way? Everybody had a role to play. You had the Indian, you had the construction worker, you had the policeman, then you had the gay dude. That was just the gay dude.
The gay dude,
The leather-wearing gay dude. That's all he was. Who are they kidding?
A lot of them were gay.
Some of them weren't gay.
I kissed them all, and some of them just didn't kiss back.
I'm telling you, some of them were not gay. That's my only point. I think that's interesting. You assume they're all gay, but it didn't turn out to be that way. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're wrong.
Not all of them are gay, but all of them were at Bean's party at the 3rd of July, apparently. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And we're live, and we're back, and today is the 7th of July. Get in the ass, and it's Kevin and Bean and Lisa and Mike and Ralph and Alex and Dave and everybody in full effect. Ralph, how was your holiday? Pretty good?
Good and bad.
Good and bad.
Good and bad. Just like life.
Yes, well,
take the good with the bad.
We did have 2 weeks, which was spectacularly long.
Yeah.
And for those of you that say that we take too much vacation, we'd like to take more.
Yes.
How was it? Good and bad. What was good?
The first half was good. We had some friends in from out of town who stayed with us. You know, we got the new house in Studio City, so we were able to break that in with some friends and entertain a little
bit. The housewarming party was off the hook.
Oh,
it was great. Lisa?
It went on all night.
Oh, my God.
I stumbled home at like 4 in the
neighbors
morning.
Neighbors are not happy with me.
That was crazy. Sure. Oh, wait, there wasn't one.
Because we don't have any furniture yet.
Okay.
But as soon as we get some, we'll have you all over.
So would y'all just sit on the floor?
Were your out-of-town visitors disappointed to find out they thought they were coming to Los Angeles and instead they've got to stay in the crappy valley?
No, they enjoyed it quite nicely.
I don't think know that the valley is bad. They're from London, so I don't think they...
But in London, it was 50 and raining, so they were happy to get anything with sunshine and a little light.
Yeah.
So it was great to hang out with them. We went to the Hancock premiere, which was very exciting for them, their first sort of Hollywood premiere, and it was very, very entertaining.
Okay.
And then the second half of the vacation started. And here's the thing, and before I tell you the story, please don't think I'm being crass or out of line or cruel, because... We've already laughed about this amongst my family and everything, and it's okay. But
oh no,
my wife's grandmother, one of my favorite people in the world, Avalon was her name, and she 86 years old, one of these good old time broads, just smart as a whip, ball busting, hard drinking, hard smoking. One of these old people you just love to be around.
Nice.
She was one of my favorite people in the world.
There are very few people that are that age that can still relate to people our age as if they're one of us.
Exactly. Yeah. She was one of them, 86 years old. She, her whole life was just going great guns. In the past year, she started to slip. She started to health-wise have some problems. Oh. And so she started to get to lose her her mind a little bit, and the body started to go. And it's just 86, you know, things just start breaking
down. It happens,
yeah. And so the sad part for everyone involved in the family was that she was having a hard time getting around. She eventually was bedridden in the past year, and she couldn't feed herself, and couldn't. And it just got worse and worse and worse. Anyway,
and where did she live, Ralph?
She lived up in Ventura County.
Okay, so she wasn't down visiting with you? This was just going on during vacation?
This has been going on for months.
Okay. Okay.
But we're on vacation. My wife gets a call at work. Listen, grandmother's really taking a turn for the worse. You need to come up here and say goodbye, pretty much.
Oh, that sucks.
That's the thing. And so she calls me from work in tears, and so I get her, and we drive up to Ventura County to say, for her to say goodbye to her beloved grandmother before the end comes. And we get there minutes after we show up. She passes.
But she got to say goodbye?
She got to say goodbye.
Oh, that's great.
So that was the good part. But, of course, naturally, there's a whole bunch of sadness involved with it. And immediately we opened a bunch of booze because that's what she would have liked. And we all sat on her porch. She died at her home. We all sat on her porch and had a toast to Avalon. And we were telling stories about her. And it was really sort of a nice, warm moment for the family to get together.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Was she out there with you?
She was not. She was in her bedroom.
Okay. All right.
And
because that would have been creepy.
That would have been creepy.
Okay.
It's funny because
did you pour out one for your homie?
We started boozing. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're boozing on the porch, and her pastor walks up to give her sort of her last rites, and we're like, "Yeah, can I get another?" And he's like, "It's a little early to be toasting Avalon, isn't it? 4 o'clock in the afternoon." He looked at us with a stink eye.
Come on.
He's like, no one would have appreciated this more than she would have. So anyway, Avi is laying in the bed, and we're waiting now at this point just for the mortuary to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they have to come and collect the body and take it to the mortuary. And so we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting, and hours go by. And my wife's getting a little steam. She starts calling the mortuary and saying, "What's up? We're waiting for this body to be picked up." And, and they say, "Well, we're having a little problem today. She wasn't on the original list, and there was some sort of paperwork foul up, and we're short on drivers, but
you have to be on a list ahead of time before you die?
The initial call, we called at the time of death.
Right.
You know the thing is coming. You had things sort of planned out.
So yeah, but it sounds like the list was like people that knew 3 days ago.
No, you call them up and say, "Oh, here's a pickup. You know, please put her on the list," and you're supposed to be there in about an hour.
Okay.
So hours have gone by, and the paperwork wasn't done properly, whatever. They're short on drivers, blah, blah, blah. They got a bunch of stories. Don't worry. We'll have someone out there shortly. So cut to the chase. A very nice gentleman named Lee shows up in the vehicle to take Avalon to the mortuary. And so he is very courteous. He is very respectful. He is well-dressed, well-groomed. He knows his job. The problem is Lee is one dude. Okay,
right.
They send one dude to the house.
Oh, no. I see where this is headed.
And after he says his condolences to the family, he turns to me and says, "I'm going to need a little help getting the body out of the house."
No.
And I go, "Squeeze me?"
No.
Yeah. Could you do
I don't know if I'm a guy who should be helping me.
Could you do me a favor and help me get the body out of the house?
Really?
I was like, I don't think I know. I don't want to. I didn't even go in.
Right.
To see Avi towards the end because that was not something I wanted to be part of. And now that there's a dead person in the other room, I'm not really too keen on that.
There's two kind of people. There's people that go in and see her and people that can't go in and see her. There are no people that want to carry her.
Right.
that's a list of zero.
It's a zero.
But I'm being, my in-laws are there and everything. You know, in times of crisis, men step up, right?
Right.
So I took another shot and I said, "All right, Lee, me, buddy, let's go in."
Was Lee a strong guy or did you have to
Lee was a little tiny fella guy. So
did you take the head or the feet, Ralph?
Here's the
thing. Oh, God.
They got to wrap her up first before they put her on the gurney. First, I had to help him carry the gurney into the house.
Okay.
Right? So we get the gurney into the bedroom, and he says, "Okay, now what I need you to do is go on the other side of the bed, and I need you to pull her towards you. Grab her body and roll her over towards you so I can slip the sheet underneath her. Then you got to roll her back towards me, and you grab the sheet on the other end. We're going to wrap her up, and then we'll lift the sheet together, right, and we'll get her up on the gurney.
Doesn't sound like you even needed Lee. You might as well just do it yourself.
So I grab hold of Avalon, and I start pulling her towards me, and I realize at this point, I am holding a dead person.
Yes,
now,
yeah. Dead person, yeah, in your arms.
Dead person is right there with, yeah, me, with my hands on
have
her.
Have you seen enough scary movies that you started worrying about, like, her eyes opening, yeah, or something?
She's not dead.
Because that freaks me out.
You should never have to handle a dead person.
No.
No one in their life should ever have to handle a corpse. There should be people who that's what they do.
There are people.
And Lee was one of them, but apparently not enough came with Lee. So we wrap her up in this sheet, and then Lee says, could you grab the feet? And yeah, so I'm grabbing the feet, and we swing her up, and we get her on the gurney.
Did you do 1, 2, 3, and then throw her up on the gurney?
No, we just try to do big. No, that's the thing. You're trying to act as sort of respectful and gently do this as possible. But there's no good way to pick up 175 pounds of body.
You also never expect
a graceful sort of, you know, polite way to do it. It's heavy lifting at this point.
You also never expect to do something like that, so you don't have a plan. You haven't thought through it. You don't know what you would do.
No pun intended, but I mean, there's a reason they call it dead weight. That 175 is really so much heavier than picking up a live person.
Yeah. Yes, because it's cold and it's weird.
Yeah.
And you're freaking out on top of having to do what you had to do.
Yeah.
And so we get Abby on the gurney, and we get her out of the house, and we load her up into the minivan that he brought.
Minivan?
Yeah.
What happened to the hearse?
Apparently they were all out on calls.
Are you sure he was with a mortuary? He wasn't some sick neighbor?
It was a specially souped-up minivan, though, that had, like, the slab in the back and everything. Was tricked out just for dead people.
It was a tricked-out minivan.
And so my wife, God bless her, with a sense of humor, said, well, Grandma always loved minivans. So it's only appropriate that now she takes her last ride.
Wow. Rob, it sounds like had another hour gone by, you would have been putting her in the back of the banana mobile. I mean, it sounded like it was that close to you've got to get her out of the house at some point.
Well, eventually, the whole family's there. One by one, they start saying, well, we'll meet you back at the house. We'll make dinner and blah, blah. So eventually, it's just like me and my father-in-law and my wife and, you know, my brother-in-law. We're all just waiting for this guy to show up. So we had to sort of take things into our own hands, literally.
That is that's not what you hope for during vacation.
No,
anytime,
not
really.
Fun. It was one of the weirdest moments of my life, to say the least.
Let's say good morning to Tony in Corona. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You're a mortician?
Yeah, pretty much. I do what Ralph does every day.
You're a pickup guy?
Yeah, I'm the pickup guy.
Did you always?
By the way, I want to say, Tony, to you and to this guy Lee, who worked with us. An amazingly difficult job, because you're dealing with people at the worst possible moment of their lives.
Right.
They're just deep, deep into grief at this point.
Yeah.
And
he
was terrific and was very respectful of our feelings and stuff. I just felt bad for the guy because he was just shorthanded.
He's very weak.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had that happen to me where I've been sent out to, like, because I'm usually located out of, like, Anaheim area. I got sent out to Palm Springs at, like, 2 in the morning to this convalescent home, and it was just me. And none of the nurses there wanted to help me, and this lady was like 400 pounds.
Oh. By the way, the nurses who deal with him on a daily basis didn't want to help him.
Yeah, they were like, well, we can't help you. So basically, it was either, you know, wait 3 hours for one of my partners to get out there or just kind of take matters into my own hands. So
you dragged her?
I dragged her.
No, I was just kidding. You really did?
No, I didn't. I just kind of wrapped her up, and I pulled as hard as I could. I like slid her onto my gurney, and I had to try to strap her on real quick, because otherwise it was going to fall over on top of me.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
There's a certain indignity that comes with death.
Yes.
There's no way to get out gracefully and sort of cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let me ask
you
one more question, Tony, because my father passed away not too long ago, and the guy who was working at the mortuaries told me that he always wanted to do that. And I thought to myself, A, who would always want to deal with dead people in that situation?
Yeah, what kid has that little dream?
But B, thank God there's people that do.
True.
Yeah.
Did you always want to do that, Tony, or is this just a bad turn of events for you?
Well, basically, I was working as a maintenance guy for roll-up doors. And,
yes.
I couldn't stand my boss. And I was just like,
that's a natural progression right there.
It's an obvious next step.
Roll-up doors, roll-up corpse.
So this was not the plan. You wanted to get away from a bad boss, and you took whatever job came along.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, yeah, dude, can you handle dead bodies? And I was like, I don't know. Like,
the answer to that is no, by the way, Tony.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's different, too, versus someone when you show up and that you don't know versus a woman that you spend a lot of time with and have a certain amount of feelings for. The reason I started laughing and we laughed about it afterwards was I can't imagine the look on my face while I was doing what he asked me to do.
Yeah.
That must have been hilarious.
She must have been literally in heaven laughing her ass off at you, watching absolutely. You like being all scared.
I hope she had a martini and a cigarette going, just laughing her ass off at me. That would have been special.
That's a great vacation, Ralph.
Good time.
I may have to recuse myself from this topic. I may not be allowed to contribute, having done it, frequently.
Here's the thing about Bean, and I love this. We went to the Super Bowl, I believe it was in Miami. It was someplace in Florida.
Tampa.
And it was just about time to go to the Super Bowl, and Bean called and said, I hurt my back. And I said, that's funny, let's go. And he said, no, seriously, I hurt my back. And I said, what were you doing? And he said these words, putting on my pants.
Oh, one leg at a time?
He went to the emergency room. He gave me his ticket to the Super Bowl. I scalped it. And I went without him.
Well,
what could you do? It was the Super Bowl. Look, here's the thing about the human body. It's incredibly strong and incredibly resilient until it's not. And we all have been hurt in ways that you did not expect to be hurt. And in this case, it was as simple as just putting on my pants like I do every single day. And something popped in my back for whatever reason. It just put me in the emergency room. I was in excruciating pain.
I was like, dude, I got to go. This game's about to start.
Did you take him to the hospital?
I don't know.
I think you did. I think you took him to the hospital and left me there.
I pushed
him out in front of the emergency room and kept going.
But he came back and got me after the game, if I recall correctly.
Here's the thing about Bean, though. He's not an athlete. He's not exactly an athlete. But this story comes from the Detroit Tigers and, of course, baseball.
Because they're big pussies.
This guy, Brandon Inge, apparently had hurt his side, his oblique muscle, which Mike says is like your love handle right there. Mm-hmm. Apparently he had pulled it or hurt it somehow three and a half weeks ago. And he's got a three-year-old, and he was trying to push the pillow down behind his kid's head. That's what he
was
doing.
Seems simple.
Yes. Re-injured that oblique muscle enough that he had to go on the DL for 15 days. They had to call up somebody from the minor leagues.
Oh, my God.
15 days. He had to make the call to his manager. Hey, pushing a pillow, and I'm hurt. So we're going to look for your ridiculously embarrassing ways that you hurt yourself at 1-800-520-1067.
You always hope that you have a good story.
Yeah, and if you don't, you make one up. Yes. I mean, you don't ever tell people you were pushing down a pillow.
No.
You were lifting a car off somebody and saved their life, you know.
What's the chili pepper story that you have, Mike?
It was Julian Barbary's ex-husband. I forgot his first name, but he was a professional baseball player.
Yeah, he played for the Marlins, I think.
And he got hot sauce in his eyes in the clubhouse before a game and had to sit out two full games.
Two games?
Yeah,
they didn't just have to flush his eye out?
I don't know what type of hot sauce that was, but there was, I guess, particles of sulfuric acid in it or something.
So embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, how embarrassing is that? And then I think it was Jeff Kent, right, Bean, that hurt himself washing his car.
I think so. You think about the conditioning, the physical strength and conditioning that these professional athletes go through. I mean, that is their livelihood.
Right,
and
but then, it's baseball. Let's not.
Here we go again.
Let's not put it together with other sports where they actually do conditioning.
I have a feeling that the average baseball player is in pretty good shape. I have a feeling. But
let's not forget the Gramatica brother, the kicker, who hurt himself really badly. Celebrating a kick.
That's right.
What'd he do?
He's a professional football player. I mean, a kicker, but he's still a professional football player. Kicks a field goal. And he's like, all right, yeah, pumping his fist. And you see him just crumble in pain.
It wasn't like right after the kick. It was during the celebration. Yeah, that's super embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the number.
Let's talk to Gilbert real quick before the break. He's in Pacoima. Gilbert, you're very close to our first telephone call of the new week back from vacation. So make it good, man. Don't start our day back on a down note, all right?
All right, I'll make it good.
All right, how'd you hurt yourself?
Let's hear it.
Fantastic.
Nice. How about that? Welcome back.
Did you know that was him?
I did not.
That was like a total setup from you.
I absolutely did not. It's set up on the screen that he broke both ribs changing the oil in his car. I thought, hey, that's a pretty good story to go to.
I like it. All right. Let's talk to Jason, and then we'll take a quick break. Jason is in Pasadena. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Jason.
How'd you hurt yourself?
All right. Well, I get in my fair share of fights, like stupid bar fights, whatever.
Right.
Things, stupid things. I tried to kick someone in the face, and I pulled my groin muscle.
Unless you're super stretched out or you're doing, you know, that kind of stuff for a living or a lot, that's a high kick.
Yeah, well, like, I used to take karate when I was a little kid, and I thought, you know what,
I can still do that.
Yeah.
So you tried to kick him in the face. You missed, of course.
Yeah.
And pulled your groin.
I pulled my groin, and I had to be in a wheelchair because it was too painful to walk.
Fantastic.
Pussy.
Not the intended effect, that's for sure.
Thank you for the call. We got a bunch more on hold. We'll take them when we get back. Talking about a professional athlete named Brandon Inge. He's a Detroit Tiger, and he is out for 15 days because he was putting a pillow behind his kid's head.
Well, you can't see how that would happen.
You can't do crazy activities like that off the field, man. You got to really pace yourself when you're not working. So 1-800-520-1067. Yes, Lisa?
Don't they have rules about that for athletes? Like you can't
yes,
drive
no
race
skydiving,
cars
and... no adjusting your pillow. That's
exactly.
Right. We're looking for your calls here this morning on the ways that you hurt yourself that you never could have seen coming. For instance, let's talk to, let's talk to Joe and Walnut. Joe is online for this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Joe, welcome. What happened?
Hey, yeah, actually I have a pretty embarrassing story. It's actually about a year ago now. I was over at my friend's house and we were just having a little fun and my friend turns on some music and we were just having a good time. We started dancing and I ended up tearing my ACL.
Nice!
Dude!
Yeah.
And you have to have knee surgery for that, right?
I actually was in a cast for about 2 months.
Now, are you a good dancer and you were showing off, or are you being a funny dancer and trying to make people laugh?
No, I was just being a funny dancer. I'm not a very good dancer.
That's awesome.
What song were you dancing to when you ripped your ACL?
I'm not exactly sure. It was my friend, actually. He listens to a lot of, like, it's kind of techno music.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he just turned something on. And I was trying to have a good time.
So you deserved boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, you deserved it then. Okay, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Sometimes you have to shake your ass. You don't have any option.
Let's try Jay in Baldwin Park. He's on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jay. Welcome to the program. What happened to you?
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean?
Hi. Ridiculous ways you hurt yourself.
I needed looking for a pair of socks one morning, and then my wife says, oh, I just did some laundry. They're right there on the bed. And they fell off the bed, and I bent over to pick up my pair of socks and threw out my back for 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Threw out your back for 2 weeks picking up a pair of socks.
Yeah, it wasn't my best time, but...
I hope your wife never let you forget that.
Still doesn't. That was about a year ago.
Hey, honey, can you get me some socks? Oh, never mind.
Did you make up a story to tell for when people ask what happened to your back? I mean, because I would have said, well, I was wrestling a bear, you know, or something. You don't tell the true story.
No, never.
All right, good.
No, yeah.
Good. He knows what he's doing then if he's not telling the true story. All right, let's go to Jennifer in Diamond Bar. Good morning, Jennifer. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
How'd you hurt yourself? It was embarrassing.
I coughed. Bye. It was 7 days before my wedding, and my fiance and I were in the backyard eating lunch, and I got up to walk into the house. I coughed randomly, and it sent me to my knees in the fetal position. And I literally could not stand up or straighten out 7 days before my wedding.
Because you coughed.
No.
I coughed randomly.
Wow.
And it pulled out a muscle in your back or something, right?
I pulled a muscle in my back, and the greatest part of the story was it was the day we were going to pick out our rings in downtown L.A., and so we went to my parents' house. I got a Valium from my dad. We drove to L.A. The problem with L.A. is you cannot park.
Right.
In front of wherever you're going, you have to park in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And so we had to walk about 3 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And so in the completely bended over position, I could not straighten up. I walked crying with every single step. And my fiance was like, no, we don't have to do this. We can wait. We can wait. And, of course, being a bride, no, I have to.
Yeah, you're crazy. Now, if you're walking bent over, did he do the right thing and run around in front of you and face you?
Yeah!
You know what I mean?
Hey, you had to hold me up.
All right, that's what I'm saying.
Did you get to a chiropractor or something in the days leading up to the wedding so you're okay to walk down the aisle?
Yes, thankfully one of our best friends is a chiropractor, so I ended up having to go to therapy every single day for a couple hours before
nice.
The wedding. And finally, about a day or two before the wedding, I was able to stand up.
That hurts.
Wow.
Thanks for the call, Jennifer. I have great sympathy for her. And Kevin, you've had your share of back problems, but I've been exactly where she is. I was getting out of my car one time and pulled the muscle. I was the only one home, and it took me almost an hour to get from my car to the front door of my house.
Did you crawl?
I would have if I could have done that, but every step hurts so bad I just couldn't stand it. Here's an email from K-Rock listener Omar. Back in high school, we made a great 21-point comeback in football with 4 minutes left in our first game of the season. We won the game on a last-second touchdown. We went insane celebrating. I ran up to our starting quarterback. I high-fived him so hard that I missed his hand and jammed my finger in his eye. Well, he missed the next game with a messed-up eye. We got our asses kicked. He came back the following week. We won every game for the rest of the year. So now I'm the jackhole known as the guy that cost us the undefeated season. It was the only game we lost all year because I hit him in the eye with my finger.
That reminds me, in football, I was one of the captains, and I was leading running in place. Running in place, and I twisted my ankle and fell to the ground.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Well done.
Running in place. And, of course, the team is looking at you, right? And you're running in place. Right. Come on, get your knees.
Did they really all jump to the ground, too, to follow you?
No,
because
they
should have.
Laughed. They surrounded
me. We got another Jennifer on line 8. I've never, ever, ever heard of something like this before. Jenny in L.A., good morning. You're on the Kevin DeBean Show. What happened?
Hi. Well, I have trouble getting to sleep, so I take medication to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed up a little too late doing an assignment for English, and so I was walking back to my bedroom, and I guess I fell asleep right in the middle of walking. And next thing you know, I woke up and my foot was broken.
Your foot was broken?
Yeah, my foot was broken.
Oh,
how did you do that?
I have no idea. I must have stepped funny or something because, like, the bone, like, just, like, sliced off.
I've never heard of anyone falling asleep while walking. That's the part that amazes me.
Yep.
What were you taking?
Because
we got to get some of that.
Yeah, seriously.
Whatever it is, we got to,
like,
load up.
Ambien or something?
No, it was like a doctor-prescribed medication.
Oh, got any left?
Yeah, and I didn't even get an A on the paper.
Oh!
Well, that's certainly the important part of the story.
At least it was worth it. Thank you,
AutoZone has rebates of $1 off Splitfire Platinum and 50 cents off Splitfire Copper Classic Spark Plugs. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
That's good. At least the names are easy to remember.
Yes, and safe.
It won't be a problem. 7:53 now, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Take a look at the top showbiz story, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Hancock, big hit over the weekend. Will Smith, Charlize Theron, Jason Bateman. Very entertaining film. $66 million it made over the holiday weekend.
So it it shot past 100 already, I guess, with the 5 days,
yeah,
right, Ralph?
Yeah, I'm guessing it's well over 100 by now. WALL-E was number 2 at the box office, made $33 million this weekend.
That's a crazy little robot, and that robot likes trash.
He is spunky, though.
I'll tell you.
That's the robot you want on your side. I've heard. Wanted was number 3 at the box office.
I like
Curve
that.
The bullet. Curve the bullet.
Curve the bullet.
Get Smart was number 4. Kung Fu Panda was number 5.
Hey!
The Incredible Hulk, $5 million, put it at number 6 this weekend. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, it's number 7. Kit Kittredge and American Girl turned in at number 8. Sex and the City, number 9. And You Don't Mess with the Zohan, coming in at number 10 this weekend.
Go see that again over the holidays, Kevin.
Top money earners.
No time.
Kevin rejected that after he saw it, remember?
Yeah, it was not good.
He recanted his original opinion.
Yeah.
There were funny moments, but it was not a good movie.
Congratulations to Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban. They welcomed their first child together into the world, a daughter born today in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeehaw!
You love everyone in Nashville, don't you?
Oh, can't get me enough of that country loving. Freaking country.
Keith Urban, country singer you would love?
Australian country singer.
Yeah.
Yep. What's that all about? Go back to your own freaking country.
Money.
Sing about wallabies and didgeridoos.
That's all they can do?
That's all they can sing about. Koalas, didgeridoos, and wallabies. That's all I want to hear out of those people.
I believe he grew up in Australia, a fan of country music. That's how he ended up going into that field.
What a mess he is. It is a baby girl. No word yet on what the baby's name is, but frontrunners are didgeridoo, wallaby, or koala. I'm hoping for didgeridoo.
Well, they're celebrities, so it can't be normal.
Little didg.
Has to be nothing.
Color dig.
Is Tom Cruise somewhere silently weeping, by the way, that Keith Urban was able to get her pregnant and he wasn't?
No. Tom said, I could have done that. It could have been me. We had lots of sex.
And adopted lots of babies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's her first natural-born baby. She's got two other kids with Tom Cruise, but
right.
This is the first time it was issued from her loins.
Hmm.
Oh.
England is better than us sometimes, and this is one of those times. A brand-new UK TV show has been announced. Britain's Missing Top Model.
Missing Top Model?
That's right.
Kevin. It features only models who are missing body parts. I just slid right the dot out of from Get Smart during that story. There are models who are missing body parts.
I am so
Would you believe
in.
It? Would you believe they don't have all their limbs?
I am so in on that.
I hope Heather Mills is a judge.
No word yet on who will be the judging. Britain's missing top model.
Jeez.
Features models from disabilities from around the world, including one from the U.S.
Who do we
USA,
root for, Rob?
USA! USA! Eight lovely ladies will duke it out on screen without limbs, some who are partially paralyzed, and one who is deaf.
That'd be sweet.
The winner gets a new wheelchair. No. The winner gets a photo spread in the British Marie Claire magazine and gets some cash as well.
Have you seen the pictures of these girls?
I have.
Yes.
They're attractive.
They're attractive, but stumpy.
Yeah, it would be more so if they had all their arms and legs.
It's a girl holding like a flower, and she's holding it one with her hand, the other half with her nub.
I'm in.
Yeah.
It's disturbing in a sexy kind of way.
Well, you know, my motto is handicapped girls cannot be attractive. You know that.
Well, you're freaked out by all handicapped people.
I don't care for
absurd.
The handicapped. I don't care for them at all.
Yeah, the
I'm in.
The UK Marie Claire editor, Marie O'Riordan, who is one of the judges for the show, says, I do believe the program will help change our attitudes towards disability. I want to see the winners shake up the fashion industry. These young women shouldn't be invisible to the fashion world just because they're disabled. You're right, Marie. I bet tons of people go out and hire all kinds of disabled models because your show's on television. I think that will start sweeping the fashion industry. Idiot. Isn't it a little... Does that smack a little bit?
Yes.
Of taking advantage of these poor men by putting them on parade. A little exploitation.
I think so.
I don't know.
I mean,
that's how it seems to me. But what if you're a woman with one arm and you're dying to be a model and you can't get anyone to see you? Maybe this is the profile, you know, the high profile situation you need to be in order to be taken seriously. I don't know.
I don't see you rocketing to the top of the modeling world, regardless of the outcome.
News for everybody.
News for everybody. That's absolutely right.
I'm in.
And casting news. Sounds as if Jessica Alba will now be starring in the upcoming remake of the classic science fiction fantasy film Barbarella.
Yeah!
You ever seen Barbarella with Jane Fonda back in the days when Jane Fonda was smoking hot?
I see like the poster for it and stuff.
She's like a space slut who goes around with a ray gun just zapping people.
And who's doing this? Jessica Alba?
Jessica Alba.
Fantastic.
And I think this is a role that is uniquely tailored to her gifts as an actress.
Is that right?
I
believe you're right.
She'll be wearing not much in the way of clothing and doing not much in the way of speaking, which is how I like me some Alba.
She has to be on the short list of the least successful actors working today, right, Ralph? Consistently working, consistently getting movies made with no success.
Monster movie star with almost no hits.
That's right. Every movie is a flop that she's in, yet she keeps getting work.
But at least The Love Guru, now that... Oh, wait a minute.
You know what, though? While watching that, I was thinking...
Hold on. Let me back up for a second. While watching The Love Guru, is that where this story starts?
Yes.
Wow. Were you not present for the conversations we had about The Love Guru before it came out?
And you remember the feeling that you got in the pit of your stomach when you saw the trailer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? It was nothing compared to the movie.
But that's why I stayed out of the theater and didn't go see the movie.
But it wasn't the acting at all. Jessica Alba was fine. Mike Myers was fine. The writing was just stupid beyond words. I wanted
Mike
to
Myers
walk
wrote
out.
It, though.
I know, but he's written other stuff that I like.
Yeah, I know, but and we all saw this one coming, Kevin.
He can kind of make stuff that is written poorly funny, but not stuff that's
written
poorly.
Here's what happened, Kevin. We all looked up in the sky and said, holy crap, there's a meteor rocketing towards our planet.
Yeah.
Let's get the hell out of the way. And Kevin said, I don't know. I think that meteor is going
to
miss me.
I need a closer look.
I know it's coming, but I think if I stand here, it just might veer to the right at the last moment and just graze me.
But I'm saying Jessica Alba
got squashed.
I'm saying she was fine in that movie. She was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the problem.
I'm looking forward to Barbarella.
Me too.
Robert Rodriguez will be directing.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
He had originally cast Rose McGowan as the lead of the film. Oh. Apparently they've broken up, and she is no longer the lead in Barbarella.
Oh, that's
a coincidence. You'll be the judge.
Interesting. Her, Rose's sister was at my party, my 4th of July party, by the way.
Rose McGowan's sister?
Yeah.
Lily McGowan?
I don't recall her name. Very nice
Hyacinth
woman,
McGowan?
Though.
McGowan?
What was she doing at your party?
She's her aunt is friends with my wife, so they showed up. And you know she's what? Very nice girl.
We don't have time to get into it here, but I think you should shut the F up about your party.
What?
Considering that some members of the Kevin and Bean Show were invited to your freaking party via Evite, other members of the people you work with were apparently left off the invite list.
Excuse me. The only people that were invited are the people who would come.
You effing rude bastard. Right, you and your effing wife, by the way.
Name one person who I should have invited that might have come.
Okay, but wait a minute. If it's might have come, you're the first person to complain about not being invited to something.
You certainly never show up.
Have I ever left you off any of my invites to any of my parties, Bean? Ever.
I don't, I'm not sure.
You're not sure? Do you get regular invites from me when I throw things?
I do from time to time. That's true.
Yeah, you do. You know what it's called? Courtesy. I know it's a foreign concept to you and your effing wife up in your effing island, but some people just like to be saying, oh, that was nice. They thought of me.
Sometimes in my defense.
It's just a flick of an email, for God's sake. Are you incapable of that much human feeling?
In my defense, I didn't have anything to do with the Evite. I didn't even get a copy of the Evite, to tell you the truth.
I really had nothing to do with it.
The root person was hurt, not me.
Yeah. All right. Well, get your wife on the phone for me now. I got a few words for her.
Okay.
Would you have gone?
Maybe I would have.
So no?
I don't want my choices. Rolling dead grandmas or going to Bean's house. It's a coin flip. It's kind of a toss-up. I thought I was the only guy spending time with a corpse over the holiday. Dave, apparently, was also.
Mike was looking at the Evite. Apparently, Dean Shepherd was also invited.
Of course, yeah.
Our old sports
guy. Not a party without Dean.
From about 3 years ago. So that's odd.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedy, party of one. Georgia Fox from CSI is 40 years old today. Lisa, were you invited? Were you on the Evite list?
Kevin, were you on there? No, I didn't get that.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, it's really polite, I think, to invite some of the coworkers. I think that's a good rule of thumb.
I'll take it up with Mrs.
Your wife's
right?
Quite the princess.
I apologize for you all
when
being left
When's she writing that etiquette book? Called F Some People I Know.
That's the people I don't like, I think is more important.
Apparently, that's the subtitle. Georgia Fox from CSI is 40 years old today. David Hodo, he's the construction worker from The Village People. He's 61 years old today. And Ringo Starr, who was the Indian in The Village People, he is 68.
By the way, Dave the King Mexico put up a link to a video for The Village People for those that want
Sex on the Phone, I think it's called.
Those are the people that want to check out The Village People that aren't gay,
not
according
all
to
them are gay. They all got
That's
invites.
That's all I'm saying.
The Village People all got
they
invites
did.
To Bean's party.
Including
all
the
I'm saying is they worked
guy,
all
especially
day.
Especially him.
The lead singer of the Village People, I did some research since your last report, Ralph, recently married his longtime girlfriend, Karen.
That's never happened before with a gay man.
Well, I'm just saying it's unlikely that a 50-year-old is going to go out and marry a woman if he doesn't have to in this day and age.
I am Karen. You don't know what she looks like,
Karen was one of the other Village People.
Oh, what a coincidence. He just married her after it became legal in California.
Me and Karen are getting married.
Yep. Screams heterosexuality.
What could be less gay than that song? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Congratulations to Brian Flores from Mission Viejo. He just got Rock Band. He got Xbox 360 and he got tickets to the Mayhem Festival. Which is a pretty cool show. It's got your Disturbed and your Slipknot and your Mastodon and a ton of other bands performing. Details at krock.com. And on Friday, we're going to do a drawing. Somebody's going to play Xbox Rock Band with Disturbed.
And get to take a helicopter ride to the show on Saturday, too. Now, did they get to go in your helicopter, or is it a separate helicopter that K-Rock is lining up for them? Kevin, do you know?
I don't really have a helicopter.
He doesn't share his helicopter.
I don't have a helicopter. It's ridiculous.
What's wrong with you people?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock for a Monday morning, the 7th of. Do you like it in the ass? It's 8:14. Ralph was making fun a few minutes ago about the invitations that my wife sent out for our big 4th of July holiday party over the weekend. Ralph's not on the list. Kevin, I guess you technically didn't get an invitation.
Kevin, I was not on the list as well.
I didn't get
Lisa, no.
I don't believe
no
Lisa was invited. Mike, I don't think we were able to send it to you. But
I got
Dave
one.
The King.
What?
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got one, you asshole.
Son of a bitch.
His wife likes him.
Yeah. I didn't know, by the way. The truth is, I had nothing to do with the invitations. I really didn't. I didn't even see one until after they'd been out for about a week. It was all Donna. But she did invite her little friend, Dave the King of Mexico, who joins us here on the world-famous K-Rock Radio Studio. Hey, Dave.
What up? He's a well-known wife stealer, so that's good.
Dave the King of Mexico was living at my house over the holidays. How
did
about
somebody
that?
Order Mexican?
How weird is my life?
I mean, that was my house, dude. Let me ask you this question. You're Dave, the King of Mexico, and I know you don't have a lot going on besides texting. But how do you make the decision to go up to Bean's house for 4 days?
Dude, Bean's house is awesome.
Because you sleep with his wife, or
no? You know, you got the animals. You got Seattle. Seattle's a great town.
It is
a great city,
right? But
yeah, I love Seattle. Love the rain.
Okay, do you stay in a hotel in Seattle?
Nope.
Well, that's a bad choice.
I got my own room.
Okay, all right.
Me and the dogs, you know, hanging out.
You're in the dog room,
pretty much.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, good.
But
a lot of people have questions about my house, and they've always wanted to know what's it like on Bean's little island of death, and what goes on up there and stuff. And Dave is one of the few people who's ever been here and lived to tell about it, and you know, was able to escape off the island. And this would be a good opportunity if you've ever had any questions, guys, to ask Dave what's really going on up here. None of you have ever been here in 9 years.
No, that's true. We do need to do a Cribs, by the way. We do need that to happen sometime soon, but how was the party on the 3rd for the 4th of July?
Party was awesome. There was models there.
Why was it on the 3rd?
Why was it on the 3rd? Anyone?
Bean? Are you asking me?
No. Whoever knows.
It's your party.
I think it was on the 3rd because a lot of people would be available to attend on the 3rd because a lot of people already have 4th of July plans.
I
think that's why the party was on the 3rd. And then we had a much smaller event on the 4th to actually see fireworks here on the island. But Dave's an awesome house guest, by the way.
Because...
just, you know,
you just
Dave.
Put him in a corner and he texts.
Ass
he's
up.
Just fun to hang out with.
Ass up, facing the pillow.
Dave and I watched many hours of the Twilight Zone marathon over the holidays.
The best?
He has seen
nightmare.
Every single episode of the Twilight Zone and can tell you within the first 15 seconds which episode it is, which is pretty remarkable.
Wait a minute. This is before he came up to your house? Or just now
This was while he was at my house. We watched a lot of Twilight Zone because they had the marathon.
How many episodes of Twilight Zone did you watch? This show was on in the late 60s?
Early 60s.
Early 60s?
At Bean's house, probably about 5 or 6 of them before we went to the movie or tried to go see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome because it was me, Bean, Chief, and Bean's brother.
Wow.
Watching Twilight Zone.
And Bean's brother.
Awesome.
Bean's brother is crazier than Bean, by the way.
What is Bean's brother like?
And Chief, of course, is dad.
Just you know what you think of Bean's brother? That's exactly how he is.
Really?
Yes.
He's the dude that left the date in the car at Thanksgiving for
That's
4
correct.
Hours while he was inside eating.
Oh, That's I correct. Wanted to ask him. I wanted so
Why
bad
didn't
to
you?
Ask him about it.
And they said,
know.
Yeah, I got to go. My girlfriend's out in the car. And this is like 4 or 5 hours later.
Yeah.
By the way, you know who was at my party that Dave did not meet? But, I wish he had, was Jesus.
Oh,
Jesus the gardener was at the party. Yes.
They kept Jesus away from me. I don't know if they, you know, if two Mexicans were by each other, they would get suspicious, but.
Yeah, the whole island would implode.
Yeah. But they said he was there, but I didn't see him.
You didn't see him.
No.
He was. He did show up at the party
and
for about an hour.
And by at the party, you mean he was outside cutting the weeds or the grass or something? Pulling weeds?
No, he
plants?
Actually came as a guest to the party, and Dave didn't get a chance to meet him, which I was very upset about. But
we might need to talk to Jesus and find out how that went.
Yeah, I think so.
But we had a good time. Dave had a nice visit, I think.
And Dave, did you have a nice visit?
I had an amazing visit, dude.
It was great to have him.
Yeah, thanks for having me out, Bean.
Oh, it was cool, man. It was good.
And by amazing, you mean?
Dude, I got to see fish swim.
What?
Really?
Yeah, that was one of the highlights of my trip.
Did you see animals run? What the hell are you talking
no,
about?
I went to the fish ladder in Seattle, where the salmon migrate up to the lake. Awesome, dude.
Okay. All right. Wow.
Salmon swimming upstream.
I sure wish I would have been.
How
can
you not be excited about that?
Are you too
wild salmon, by the way?
Are you and Bean, are you guys having an affair? I mean, just tell us. If that's the case, if you're just putting the wood to each other.
Wild salmon.
Somebody just
swimming.
Let us know.
Trained salmon?
Because Dave goes up to Bean's house all the time. They go to baseball games. I mean, they really are. Just
Bean is my homeboy.
Are you guys and husband?
He learned macaroni
I have very
and
few
cheese.
Friends. I have very few friends, as you know.
Right.
So it's the few that I have. It's fun to hang out with.
But I'm saying it's more than friendship. That's what I'm saying.
Not really. No. It's
There's a little romance involved. There's a bromance involved.
Dude, we're homies. We're homies.
And by homies, you mean lovers.
No, we're just homies. We tight like that. You
and
know?
By tight like that, you mean
no. We straight.
Stories from and highlights from the world premiere of Hancock with Will Smith and Charlize Theron coming up here in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, just because we were on vacation doesn't mean that K-Rock.com was shut down. We have tons of new stuff on there that we are excited for you to see and a little something that we call the Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need you.
you're viewing live so hard that you'll start spewing Kevin and Bailey Burnett Rambo.
All right, so what you do is you go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and then you click on Internet Roundup. There are a bunch of links for a bunch of funny videos on there. Mm-hmm. It's still, there's a lot of people who don't want to see certain things. It's really disappointing, and that's why the first one is banned for inappropriate comment.
Or
can
content.
I say that again? Banned for inappropriate content.
Oh,
much
okay.
different.
This video has been removed due to inappropriate content, which is kind of a shame, really, because it was pretty much the most awesome thing ever. Its pure awesomeness was so overwhelming that it literally exploded one of my eyeballs. It had everything that makes a truly phenomenal online video. It started out with kittens, so adorably sweet. I think I have diabetes now. It segued to a bit where this dude was playing the Mario Brothers theme tune on a guitar which he had built himself out of cans of Red Bull, a crack pipe, and his girlfriend's pubic hair. Then there was a shot of two astonishingly hot Japanese schoolgirls just making out for like 3 minutes. And it all wrapped up with a segment where Angelina Jolie was showing how to make a pipe bomb from dish soap, a vibrating Diet Coke and Mentos. However, we were forced to ban the video because there was a brief moment where you could see one of Angelina's nipples slip out from her top for an instant. You can't show nipples on a popular video sharing site. That's disgusting and wrong.
Oh, that's bad news, because that's what everyone wants to see.
Yeah.
I'm sad. That sounds like a good video. I can't believe we can't see that.
We also put up the video of Shaq rapping about Kobe.
Oh, yeah. This killed me that we were on vacation when this story broke. Shaq at a nightclub a few days after the Lakers lost the finals to the Celtics, and he, well, you can tell he's making it up on the spot.
Now stop, think about that. It ain't about that. It's about B.I.G., a.k.a. Big Shaq. Now that's the difference between first and last place. Kobe, tell me how my tastes. Kobe ratted me out. That's why I'm getting divorced. Kobe on my taste. Kobe, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, tell me how my taste. Yeah.
I have many thoughts on that, the least of which is, how did Shaq do with the Suns last year? I was unfamiliar with that. He went to the Suns. He was supposed to bring a title.
Right.
Hmm. Oh,
first
round
of the playoffs.
Out in the first round. That's right.
How about that? The other thing I think is that at least Shaq can say, I got a ring without Kobe. Kobe didn't get a ring without me. I mean, at least he did win one with the Heat, right?
He did, but you got to look at the team, too, and other players.
Right, of course.
It's absurd for Shaq to say that stuff. Yeah. So anyway, I hated him anyway, that bastard. He never shot free throws. And
pretty funny that he's got everyone in the nightclub singing back to him, telling me how my ass tastes, though. That is pretty funny.
Yeah, it was, actually. Retarded Policeman, our new favorite.
Oh, yeah.
It's a series that you can see all of the links up at krock.com. We only have time for episode number one. Hi. This is the Retarded Policeman, and it is done with an actual retarded guy who's the lead in the scene. And he pulls over a car, and you see it from, at the beginning of it, is from the camera in the police car. You see him walking up to the car that he has just pulled over.
He is a cop, and he's learning impaired. He's the Retarded Policeman.
That's me.
106-105 North Avenue, 52.
You know why I put you over?
No. Why did you pull me over?
Because I just want to say hi. Hi. Hi.
Hi.
You seem nice.
I'm sorry?
So there's a dude and his wife. There's a dude and his wife, and they're sitting in the car. And he's pulled them over, and he's saying these things to them. And they're trying to figure out, why did you pull us over? Just to say hi, really? You seem nice?
That's a nice car. I like cars. Is it fast?
I only drive the speed limit.
I like puppies.
What?
I had a puppy named Adolf. He had kittens. You want to see a picture that I drew?
Pulls out a piece of paper that he happens to have with him of a picture that he drew of the cats that he had.
It's a house with a chimney with the smoke coming out of it.
Well, that's very nice.
I like you. You're pretty.
Thank you.
Can I go now?
Sure. We can all leave now.
Okay. Thanks. See you later, Mom.
He is a cop, and he's learning impaired. He's a retarded policeman.
I'd like to say, first of all,
he has all three major kinds of retardation.
Second of all, we're living in an age, and I think you guys will back me up on this, that there's as much great programming online as there is on television. I mean, The Return of Policeman is better than anything that's on TV right now. It's better than any show that's being currently made for television.
But you know what the difference is? If it were on TV, a small group of people would complain,
yes,
and they would panic and pull it immediately.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's on the internet. Turns out it's funny. You can see all of the links. That's just number one. I think there are like eight or nine of them.
Awesome.
And it's the retarded policeman. It's maybe my favorite.
That is not very nice.
Nope.
I have a nephew who's retarded, and he has to wear...
Well, it's already made over $100 million. It's the biggest movie in the land, and of course, it's Will Smith returning for yet another 4th of July hit called Hancock this time. And I guess right as we were leaving for vacation, Ralph, is that when the red carpet world premiere was with all the stars in downtown Hollywood?
It was, the 2nd? What the hell was it?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Oh, right? This past Tuesday? The 2nd?
Yeah, whatever the
July
was, yeah.
2nd, 3rd. Yeah, 2nd.
2nd?
Yeah. Like it matters. Okay, but anyway.
Like it matters, yeah. Anyway, recently, last week.
By the way, remember when she talked to us and she said she was going to come in before this movie?
We talked to Charlize on the phone because I mentioned that I went to see Sleepwalking, the movie that she starred in and produced.
Right.
With Dennis Hopper, which was a real downer. But I went to the premiere and really enjoyed the film, and I was hoping to say hi to her while she was there. And I mentioned the fact I just scoured the entire party looking for her. Turns out that she wasn't even at the party. And she caught wind of that and called in. And said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you, and I miss you guys. I will be happy to come in to promote my next project, Hancock, in July."
And then Stupid Bean had to go on vacation.
Stupid Bean,
so that she couldn't even come in.
We were all on vacation. None of us were here when she would have come in last week.
I would just like to say, for the record, I would have come back for that day.
Had she come in?
I'll tell you about the conversation I had with Charlize at the premiere party for Hancock.
Okay.
After Psycho Mike tells us about his adventures on the red carpet.
Oh, you were at the red carpet for Hancock.
Yeah.
Okay. World premiere. Okay.
And you know, it was pretty star-studded. And about halfway through, I see the largest black man that's ever existed walking down the red carpet from a distance. I say,
Suge Knight?
Who is that? Because that was not a celebrity. I mean, this was a huge, yoked-out dude.
And well, here's the thing. When you're on the red carpet, a lot of people come up and they go, "Oh, this is the guy from the series in the 70s. And you don't know who people are, and you're kind of confused.
Right.
But it's mostly showbizy people.
Sure, sure. This was not, you could tell, from a distance. But he got closer, and I said, "That is T.O. That is Terrell Owens.
Terrell.
Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens. And I said to myself, as a Cowboy fan, I was geeked out. I was so excited. So I start screaming on the microphone, "Please come up and talk to us." And he walked right up and started talking to me.
Terrell Owens.
Yeah. Oh, this is unbelievable. I'm a huge Cowboy fan. I can't believe I'm talking to you right now.
All right, go Cowboys.
Yeah, he's very, very pro-Cowboys.
All right.
Mike did clearly way more excited than Terrell.
Oh, yeah.
Did he cry, by the way, at any point while he was in your presence, Mike? You know how he is.
He's coming at my quarterback. That's my teammate.
That's my quarterback.
I asked him as he was stepping up on the podium. I'm serious. I said, "Hey, will you sing Tony Romo, Tell Me How My Ass Tastes?" And he's like, no, Tony, my boy. No, I can't do that.
He's my quarterback.
Yeah. So then I started asking about his rap career because we always play that horrible Terrell Owens rap song. And he was not really willing to talk about it.
You didn't ask him about it as much as rap it to him. Mike rapped T.O.'s song to him.
Yeah, because the look on his face was, "Please, let's not go on with this conversation about rap." So I had to just, remind him of how the song went. Also, big fan of your rap work. "I'm back, and I'm better than ever. I'm back, and I'm making the cheddar." Can we expect any more T.O. rap?
No.
Alrighty.
Mike tells him he's a huge Cowboy fan, and he can't say more than one word to him.
Yeah. Well.
Is that it, or did you continue?
At least I followed it up with this way too over-the-top conclusion to our interview.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest football player in the world, Terrell Owens!
Oh, my God. You're embarrassing.
He kept saying his name wrong.
Whatever.
That must have made him happy.
He should have had a normal name.
By the way, if you were playing the home Kevin and Bean game, and the word count in that interview was Psycho Mike 150, T.O. 2. That was the word count in that interview.
He was not willing to talk.
What I'm saying was he was not a talkative man.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. But then Charlize came up, right?
See, that's what I'm talking about.
And Ralph's, had this crush on her. This
we've all had this crush.
Right.
Not a crush, a relationship.
No, it's not a
different
relationship.
It's different.
And I knew that everybody, I'm not saying anything revolutionary by saying Charlize is beautiful. I mean, everybody knows that.
Right.
But now I get it. I get where Ralph's coming from, that she's not just beautiful. I mean, she's so, self-deprecating. She's not elitist in any way. She's so down to earth and likable and charismatic. She's just the best.
She has the personality of somebody who's had to make up for bad looks all their life with having a good personality.
She's the personality of an ugly girl.
And she's also not just the personality, not just super friendly and super nice and considerate and kind and all that. She's very smart and very, very funny too. And you don't find that total package in too many women.
Nope.
So this is Mike with Charlize. Anything you need to tell us before I play this?
No, it's gold. We are very excited for the movie. Everybody here on Hollywood Boulevard, all my fans here.
All my fans.
Oh, Jesus.
All my fans are here with me. We're all excited. None of them were there to see the movie. No.
When working with Will, you worked with him Bagger Vance, and of course in this movie. You ever just shine your Academy Award in front of him?
I did it right before we came here. I said, Will, come over to my house. Let's just have, you know, a little glass of champagne. And he came over and I went, suck it.
All right.
Nice. Let me hear it again. Let me hear it again. Let me hear it again. Let me hear it again.
The whole thing?
No, just suck it.
Oh.
Suck it.
Yeah.
Suck my Oscar.
Yeah.
So I apologize. Suck it. I apologize for all that horrible audio you had to deal with, but at the very end, I got Charlize Theron saying suck
it. Yeah, or whatever her name is.
Theron. Man, you can't say names. Terrell Owens, Charlize Theron.
What happened to Mary Smith?
And what, happened?
What happened? John, do a little research.
What happened to these are celebrities?
Whatever.
You hear their names all the time. You're a Cowboys
wacky
fan.
South Africans. And
what is wrong with you?
What did Charlize say to you? She was walking off the podium there after you were done talking with her.
She, you know, we were having a little chit-chat. She said some other things, but then it all ended up with, where's Ralph? Where's
That's
Ralph?
What
gotta
I'm
find Ralph.
Saying.
Please.
So I went to the premiere. I saw the film and went to the party afterwards. And I was with some friends who were coming, who had stayed with us from England. Friends of ours from England were overseas, and they were staying with us. And I said, this is great. I'll take you to this premiere, and I'll introduce you to Charlize because, you know, we have a relationship.
We have a relationship.
Right.
Here's what Ralph was thinking, if I could interpret. They're going to think I'm cool because Charlize is going to act like she knows me.
They'll get a kick out of the fact that we can hang out with Charlize for a little bit. So we go to the after party. And by the way, that's when I saw T.O. up in the magical VIP area with Will Smith. And I started screaming, you're an Eagles fan, Will. What are you doing with him? He gave me the stink eye. He didn't like that at all. But what's a guy from Philadelphia doing hanging out with Terrell Owens, for God's sake?
Traitor. Absolutely.
The ultimate Eagles cancer. How can he do that?
I don't care if it's the celeb VIP area and they both happen to be there. That's not acceptable.
Will Smith's always talking about Philadelphia. He's from the streets of Philly. Philly, 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 Philly. And then he's hanging out with that guy.
It's because T.O. trumps all.
Unacceptable.
A lot of people that aren't Philadelphia fans didn't know he was on Philadelphia and was a cancer.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He was a cancer in Philadelphia.
That's an understatement.
He was with them the season they went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago and then just brought the team to its knees the following year when he started asking for more money, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so Will Smith gets up on stage and does a mini concert. Jazzy Jeff comes out.
Really?
No kidding. Gets on the Wheels of Steel and they start rocking out a Will Smith concert, basically.
Parents just don't understand. They do that.
Parents don't understand.
Yeah.
He does that. He does a Fresh Prince theme.
Sure.
Does summertime.
Summertime?
Started
with
Summertime.
Oh, love Summertime.
It was an outdoor party, right? Under the stars.
Wow.
And he rocks out Summertime.
Your story's so much better than Mike's.
Miami.
Sure.
Oh, Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just doing them all. The place went crazy. And after that, I see Charlize sitting at the table. So I walk over, and she looks up at me, jumps out of her chair, gives me a big hug because she's a sweetheart.
Does she say,
suck it?
She didn't, no. She said, first things out of her mouth, she said, you assholes are on vacation.
See, that's the thing about her, is that she knows
that. She knows.
Which is absurd that she would know that.
And I said, I'm so sorry. She goes, do you know how I had to rearrange my press schedule because I demanded that Sony get me into your studio so I could do an interview in person.
We struggled.
And I said, I am so sorry. I begged Kevin and Bean not to go on vacation that week.
You threw us under the bus.
Because I knew the movie was coming up, but they insisted and frankly said they don't care about you.
And
said, we're going, we don't give a crap about her.
I profusely apologized
on behalf of the show.
How dare you?
She said, I was going to get married. I was going to have a baby. I had all these plans for this week. But I rearranged everything to be with you guys. And she said the funny thing was, the press people at Sony didn't tell her until the very last minute. She was like, when are we doing it? I'm panicking. When do I get to go on the show? I said, oh, no, that's not happening. Those guys are on vacation.
Nice.
So she was screwed by both ends, basically.
And by the way, boy, say that again. This was the one where she wanted to come in and have you feed her cake while wearing a superhero costume, if I recall her request.
That's right, yeah. Because she said, you know, I feel so bad because I always make these movies that are so goddamn depressing. And this is one movie that's fun, and I can actually have a good time talking to you guys about it, and we didn't get a chance to
talk. That's true. She does dress ugly, and some of her roles are really great, but downer movies. That's true.
Right. She works very hard to be a serious actress and does great work, but she hasn't done like a light film in a while, and this definitely qualifies.
But you told her that we knew she was going to come in, and we wanted to still go on vacation?
Yeah. I said, they knew you could come in, but regardless, they said, screw it. We're going to take vacation.
She's a pig. I think
dare you. And I said, there's nothing I could do.
You know, that party sounded amazing.
It was nuts.
I would have loved to have gone, you know, especially considering I was invited.
Why didn't you? You were there. You were on the red carpet.
I go with lightning, okay, so that he can film it and stuff, because there's a lot of important people there.
Right.
And with 2 minutes to go on the red carpet, and we're getting ready to go in and watch the movie and go see the party, he says, I got to go home. You got to take me home. It's too late.
What? How late was it?
8:45.
What is wrong with him?
I got kids, and I got a lot of editing to do. We got to go. And I was like, Lighting, you serious? Yeah, please, we got it. I have too much stuff to do.
I would have said, come back and pick me up. You could have gone to the after party with Will Smith and with Charlize Theron.
So I drive Lighting home, and remember,
whatever you call him.
Remember, he's
Terrell.
He's told me about how he has to get home, okay?
Right.
So we get like a mile down Fairfax, and he's like, I need to eat now, or I'm going to die. So I pull into Cantor's, where he demands we go to, and he stuffs his fat face till midnight. I sit there and watch him just pour food into his pie hole.
Well, wait a minute. There was food at the after party, right?
Tons of great food.
I know. Can't go there. I got to get home. Got kids. I'm a dad.
What the hell happened to him?
F.
Well, he would have missed the greatest meeting of the minds ever, because I was talking to Charlize, and she said, oh, hold on a second. Stuart. And she starts calling over Stuart Townsend, who is her longtime boyfriend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who occasionally on the show I have referred to as, in a completely joshing sort of non-threatening way.
No, you were very serious.
The speed bump.
Yes.
I call him the speed bump.
Because he's between her and you.
He is the obstacle between me and Charlize.
Does your wife qualify as the speed bump as well?
When I introduced her to Charlize, I said, Charlize, this is my speed bump. This is Carrie.
Very nice.
Anyway, she goes, Stuart, come here. She goes, this is Rob. And he goes, oh, speed bump, eh? Since I've been waiting to meet you for some time. Speed bump. I've been called a lot of things, but never a speed bump.
Yeah.
And I said, let's get out of here, everybody. And we ran away because Stuart was going to kick my ass.
Mike tried hard to kill the momentum of this break with his 3-hour lightning has to eat story. But Ralph, thank you for saving it right there at the end with the speed bump comment.
I appreciate that.
Plus, we have...
Suck it.
So we're going to...
Suffering from hair loss, the doctor makes all the difference. Visit swordmedical.com and experience what sets Dr. Sword apart. Learn more at swordmedical.com.
That was my name in college, was Dr. Sword.
I was really trying to get through that. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Terrible name that guy has.
Not if you're a porn star.
8:58, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Can someone in the office bring in whatever is on the printer in to me now, please? I've got a showbiz story I want to talk about that I left in the office accidentally. Because
okay.
We're working fast and furiously here on the show today.
We're already behind.
We just got back from vacation. We're all behind.
I know. Do you have late breaking news for us, Ralph? Is that what's going on? Is that a story that's developing?
I do, and I just I'll get to it after I tell you about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Number one, by a long shot, Hancock made just $66 million this weekend alone, not accounting the holidays. Made over $100 million so far.
You have a clip of Charlize from that movie, Kevin?
I do.
Suck it.
Oh, I want to see that. And no wonder it's called Hancock.
And speaking of Speed Bump.
Yes.
Charlie's boyfriend, Stuart Townsend. You know how we always say we hate to meet our enemies on this show?
Mm-hmm.
Because once you talk to them, you realize they're good people. It just deflates your anger and you can't really be funny about them
anymore.
Then
it's not so fun to make fun of them, yeah.
Stuart Townsend, the nicest guy on the planet.
That's why you don't meet him. You run from him.
And they're so much in love and they're just a great couple together. And I cannot in good conscience mind that she's with him anymore.
Did I meet him?
No.
Speed bump.
You can still hate Speed bump.
You can still hate him.
So in case Speed bump's listening, I want to tell him it was very, very nice meeting him last week.
So you no longer want to break them up anymore. You just hope he dies of natural causes.
No, I don't want anything bad to happen to him. He's a good guy. Speed bump. Wally was number two at the box office, then Wanted, Get Smart, Kung Fu Panda, The Incredible Hulk, Indiana Jones, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Kit Kittredge, An American Girl, Sex and the City, and You Don't Mess with the Zohan. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this week. And here's the breaking news that I wanted to make sure we got to. Thanks for handing this to me, Psycho Mike. The Osbournes are returning to television.
Really?
Yep.
To do what?
It's just been announced. They are returning, Lisa, to do the Osbourne Family Variety Show.
Why? Did you say variety show?
The 6-episode series will feature Sharon, Ozzy, Jack, and Kelly performing music.
Oh, no.
And acting in comedy sketches.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
When you first said that, I thought they would bring on other people to be the talent.
Nope.
Oh, yes.
Fox Network has announced they will be doing the Osbournes in their own variety show.
Six episodes. 6 hours.
Is it possible that you've just used some really poor judgment here?
Elements on the show will feature them performing live music, comedy sketches, perhaps a game show section of the show, much audience participation, and pre-recorded location comedy.
That'd be sweet.
Wow.
Producer told Variety, it will tap into what the Osbournes do best. No, it won't.
I don't think so.
It's everything that they don't do well.
You guys remember the shape that Ozzy was in when his MTV show was on, and that was 10 years ago. So he's now 10 years older than he was then.
The producer said Ozzy will be shown in sketches that will skewer pop culture. And the sibling rivalry between Jack and Kelly will become a feature of some of the comedy sketches reminiscent of Donnie Marie back in the 70s.
Oh, my God. Really? That's not funny.
Who said that?
The producer of the
show.
That's
dumb. Don't say that.
Come on. Come on. How great is this going to be?
This is going to be awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, not much I can say about that, except that it's terrific.
Just wanted to make sure we talked about
Did you say
that.
When? I wasn't paying attention. When?
Let's see. I think it's going to kick off. The plans for Fox.
This fall?
Are to kick off with a Christmas special.
Christmas.
And then after that, it'll start airing on a regular basis. So the first episode will probably be the Osbourne Christmas variety show.
Ozzy will be Santa Claus?
Not since... the Nick Lachey Jessica Simpson Christmas special.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, remember
so
that.
Been looking forward to something on television.
Wow. So, hey, speaking rejoice. Of TV, one of the shows that we were anticipating that I think debuted while we were on vacation is the Japanese game show.
Yeah.
Hey!
I survived
it. Is that on? Is it, yeah. Is it any good?
It's okay. It's kind of slow. It's an hour long show that should be a half hour. Uh-huh. And there's not enough of the actual competition. I think Wipeout's better.
Wipeout's great.
Wipeout's good. That's the show right before it, and it's kind of like an American version of a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's like a big obstacle course you have to run through, and almost no one can get through
People
it.
Get wrecked.
They get wrecked. That's a good show. But the Japanese game show is good.
I like the punch
wall. There's no human Tetris. That's the one we're waiting for.
Yeah.
The punch wall is good.
Punch wall is very funny on Wipeout.
Also, congratulations to Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban. They welcome a baby girl into the world, born this morning in Nashville, Tennessee. When I reported this earlier, we didn't have the baby's name yet. Now we know. It's Sunday.
Yes.
No, really? It's not.
It is Sunday.
Was it born
Sunday
on?
like the ice cream or like the day?
It was born Monday morning, this morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The baby's name? Sunday.
Sunday was born on Monday.
Okay.
S-U-N-D-A-Y. Sunday.
Okay.
Nicole... or Kidman Urban or something like that.
That was a name that people used back in the 1800s, but it's been pretty much out of fashion since then.
Well, you know, because a lot of people use it as the name of one of the days of the week. So it's pretty busy. Sunday's carrying a lot of duty.
It's got its hands full.
Every week, yes. So, wow. That kid's not going to be abused.
Sunday Urban is the kid's name.
Sunday Urban.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Georgia Fox from CSI. She turns 40 years old today. Ringo Starr, drummer for the legendary Beatles. He is 68. And singer David Hodo. Of course, you know him best as the construction worker of the Village People before he branched off on his own.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
David had a short career as a male porn star as well, known as Dr. Sword. David, those people, is 61 years old today.
Sword.
See how I brought it all back around?
Nicely done.
You're welcome. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 11 minutes after 9 o'clock. And remember that one time when that funny thing happened and we did that thing? Here you go. Here's a highlight of something that we did.
No. We're live now. We're not doing the best of anymore.
Here it is.
No.
Best of. We're live. This is live. That's the new
this
show.
This is live. We're here in the studio right now, Kevin.
We have to do something now?
Yes. Oh. That's why this dude is here.
Oh, I don't know that dude.
It's an all new Kevin and Bean Show, and it is Book Club Monday. And today's book is called Embedded. It is written by Ross Dale, who joins us in the studios of the world-famous K-Rock.
Another book about the war in Iraq.
No.
This is a different kind of embedded. Sorry, I got to do some research.
This is the war between male and female genitalia, basically. Just those things banging together.
Oh, all right.
Now, I see that Ross was the producer or host or something of Sexcetera, the Playboy TV show, right? And that's the show that you used to work on, Ralph. Do you guys know each other from back then?
Ross and I worked together on Sexcetera from Playboy TV. And that's what the book is basically about. It's Ross coming out of college, wanting to be a real journalist, and then ending
quotes,
up,
and giving up on that dream.
All of us had dreams of something else when we started working on Sex Cetera, and then he got pulled down into the seedy world of pornography and disgusting sex. And now he's a pervert, just like the rest of us.
There's a lot of good stuff, a lot of questions that I have about this. Embedded, Confessions of a TV Sex Journalist. And you've done stories on pretty much every type of sex, every type of person?
Yeah, I mean, providing it's legal and doesn't involve animals, I've probably seen it live twice.
Really? Okay.
Ross, what
animals
were your
thoughts? Animals only once?
what was your thought when you got the opportunity to produce that show? You were working for E! True Hollywood Story, which is, by the way, it's just got to be soul-killing. Sounds like the worst job in television to me. But they come to you and they say, hey, you want to produce Sex Cetera. Did you have any qualms or hang-ups about getting into that world?
Oh, well, yeah. I wasn't really sure what it involved, to be honest, because I'd never seen the show. I thought, you know, I heard Playboy TV, I thought it was going to be, you know, dry martinis, smoking jackets,
right,
you know, beautiful women spread out on haystacks.
In a perfect world.
So I went in for the interview, and then they told me to go watch the show, and I was like, oh my God, you know, the first episode I watched had this porn star named Bridget the Midget, where this guy walks into a seedy hotel room with a bag, opens it up on the bed, and out pops Bridget.
Kevin knows her very well, by the way.
Yes, Bridget, he does. We went to see Bridget the Midget's band in Las Vegas, and she was humping my leg at one point. And I'm not quite sure what that means from a midget, but I didn't like it.
And, you know, there was anyways, very much grittier than the magazine certainly was, and I didn't think I could really do it, but you know, it was a chance to get out of E, and I'd been there for 3 years. I was ready, and it was more money, and it was adventure and travel and that sort of thing. So I just sort of went for it.
Now, you were a guy with a pretty sheltered background leading up to this point, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was went to one of these, elite prep schools back east. We certainly didn't watch any porn there. You know, I went to Wesleyan University. You know, PCU was based on it. You know, it's
right.
And, you know, I was the only child, and very sheltered. Wasn't allowed to have a bicycle as a kid, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow.
So,
why do your parents hate you? Or did they?
What's up with that? Why no bicycle?
Like, well, if you read the book, maybe you know why they hate me.
Wow.
Because look how disappointing you turned out. That's why.
Now, both parents still alive? One dead, both dead? Because I would think you would hope they would both be gone.
My mother, I'm actually very close with.
You
she's,
are.
You know, lives in town now, and she's got a lot of quotes in the book. And
does she watch the show?
Does she watch the show? She prefers hearing about the show. She really enjoys this, you know, me reading little lines from the script, lines. But as you know, it makes a better book than a TV show in some ways for what you can handle, especially what moms can handle.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. And my father's not really out of the picture. He had a little problem with the IRS back in the day, and decided better not to pay, better to run and keep money in Swiss bank accounts.
So interesting.
Yeah, that's a whole nother.
There's
book.
Your next book.
What a, what a different set of parents you had.
Yeah.
Now, sorry. Go ahead, B.
I was just going to ask, tell me when you realized your expectations about sexuality were shattered. What episode was it that you thought to yourself, I know nothing. I didn't realize this was happening.
Well, for people who don't know the show, Sex Cetera is basically like 60 Minutes, where Playboy TV has a bunch of different correspondents. I used to be one of them. And we go around and we cover stories about the more bizarre nature of sexuality. So you do all kinds of weird stories about weird fetishes and that kind of stuff.
And you have an old dude come on at the end and go, why is the gasoline so
expensive?
Why are erasers so little?
So Ross's job would be to set up and write the scripts for and to go on location and to basically field produce these pieces that would end up edited together, and that's what Sex Cetera.
How do you find the stories? Who do they pitch them
some,
to you?
Some get pitched. Some we just, you know, look through the internet of all places.
You're going to say Stroke of Luck, weren't you? You were going to say that, then you thought.
Various dirty magazines, AVN's is a popular source. But I was lucky. I mean, back to the question, I was lucky. I kind of got eased into it. My first story was actually with Ralph on the smoking fetish.
Ooh. And you both did what?
Well, Ralph just smoked a lot of cigarettes.
I did.
He was very, very eager for that.
So this is a great story. I get to smoke while I'm working.
And pole.
Yeah.
No.
No, I wasn't. No.
What?
Cigarettes.
Oh.
We talked to a young lady who had her own website.
Sorry. Okay. All right.
Had a smoking fetish, and guys would tune in to watch her have sex while she was smoking. And
really?
And that
that's
kind of
a
stuff.
That's a niche.
Which was relatively, you know, pretty tame. For me, it was definitely an eye-opening thing, too. I mean, I went from, you know, I hadn't watched any porn before. One week I'm interviewing Alan Dershowitz about insulin injections for the True Hollywood Story. Next week I'm, you know, shooting these naked girls blow smoke all over each other.
Okay, now when you say you hadn't watched any porn.
Yeah.
I'm calling BS.
Oh, no, everybody does, but you got to admit, this is back in 2000, first of all. I'd just gotten a dial-up connection. You know, the internet was still, you know, relatively in its infancy.
Right.
People, it wasn't, porn. This was before what I call the pornification of America. Jenna Jameson wasn't quite a household name yet. It just wasn't.
Did you have the scrambled Skinamax kind of example? I'm not sure we need. Are you there, dude?
All right, I'm an honest guy. But so, to me, you know, Gentleman's inspiration was a Victoria's Secret catalog, you know, swimsuit issue, maybe a Playboy magazine if I got up the gumption to go buy one.
You pervert. Yeah. So now, though, you're seeing everything beyond your wildest imagination, and you're seeing it from 4 feet away in person as you're directing the cameraman and writing the scripts and doing the stand-ups and all that stuff.
Yeah, I can see it, smell it, and everything.
You've produced over...
I don't want to know about that.
You produced over 100 of these?
Yeah, there was... Well, we did... I came on episode 13. Every episode had either 6 or 5, depending on the season, 10-minute segments. So we ran... I was credited on the whole show through episode 80. I produced over 100 segments. I was a segment producer where I would write them, you know, do the interviews. Then I was actually a host for a season and a half after Ralph left, horribly filling his shoes. And, and then by the end, I was the supervising producer, the showrunner, and I would still tap myself for the overseas stories.
We convinced our stupid radio station to send us to Amsterdam one time and do a show from there for the Cannabis Cup. And we went to the Red Light District. And we need to take a break, but when we come back, I want you to tell us about that, because my memory of that is super ugly women, and if you took a picture of them, ugly big dudes would chase you. That accurate?
That is accurate.
Okay. We'll take a quick break and come back. Ross Dale is here. He is the author of Embedded, Confessions of a TV Sex Dream.
In the meantime, our guest in studio is author Ross Dale. The book is called Embedded, Confessions of a TV Sex Journalist. It is available everywhere now. Embeddedthebook.com is the site. Ross was the producer of Sex Cetera, the show that Ralph used to be on the Playboy channel.
Yeah.
Produced over 100 segments. And before the break, Kevin was asking you about Amsterdam, because most people have this dream that Amsterdam is all pot and all poon. You know, just like Harold and Kumar, it's the one place in the world you got to go. But when you get there, it's a little disappointing in some respects, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah, I went there 3 different times for the show, and every time I went, I liked it less and less.
It's not disappointing on the pot front.
No, the pot's great. Yeah, for sure.
You always hear about the Red Light District. That's the place to go, right?
Yeah, and then you walk around in the Red Light District, and it's a little scary, right? I mean,
in the book, I say it's sort of like, it looks like just forlorn women, you know, in toll booths making change. You know?
It does. It really does.
Sounds sad.
And you know how you see girls and that you hear they're in porn, so they must have had a bad childhood, and they've been touched by somebody along the way, and they're miserable and blah, blah, blah. Right. This is where they go.
But the strange thing, too, though, the girls rent the rooms by the hour, so they might have a 3-hour time slot on a Monday afternoon. And lots of times, they only do it one day. They'll be working as a waitress someplace or a shopkeeper or whatever, and then they just go to one day a week, maybe for a few hours just to make a little extra money. They don't tell anybody. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So then you start walking around. Every time you're in a coffee shop, you're like, I wonder what window she's in.
You know? Are you a part-time whore? Now, the taking the picture thing, did you try that?
Well, it's interesting. Right before I got there, somebody, not only did guys come out and yell at you, but a woman came out and knifed a guy.
Super serious.
Well, they don't want... A lot of it's because they don't want anyone to know that they're doing this, because they don't tell their boyfriends, they don't tell their, you know, their husbands or whatever.
But they're sitting in a window open to the public.
But it's sort of like one of those things, if you're there and you see them, like, that's sort of your little secret, because you might not want to tell other people that you're there too. Plus, it's not locals that go there, it's tourists.
It's like
the British Vegas, you know, all these Brits come down there, these hooligans, soccer hooligans running around yelling at each other, throwing beer bottles. And
you would think that if you're taking a picture, they would come out and tell you to stop. No. They will chase you down. They will chase you into another country if they have to get that camera.
Ross, did you go to the banana bar?
No, I did not go there. We didn't shoot that. They didn't want us to shoot it.
We for years have had listeners call this show knowing we've been to Amsterdam. They go, guys, I need a tip. Where can I go? And Kevin always sends the banana bar, which is the saddest, most pathetic show you've ever seen in your life.
And we would say, oh, it's the soup. It's super hot. And you go in there, it's just what you would think in your worst nightmares. And they're the ugliest women alive. And it was just, we left. Left. We were like, oh, dear God, we've got to get out of here.
I hear the bananas are fresh, though.
did you encounter in all of your many, many episodes with Sex Cetera that you describe in the book, did you encounter either the extreme obese fetish, or did you encounter furries, either one of those handled?
BBWs, Big Beautiful Women. I didn't do that story, but we did cover that.
You didn't choose yourself for that one.
I was pretty good early on. You know, once I got a little bit of seniority, I could sort of pick the ones, and I stayed away from the BBWs.
Yeah, people you didn't like, you'd send him on those stories?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Congratulations.
That's how we met Ralph.
Hey, wait a minute.
How about the furries? You handle those?
Yeah, you know, I tried. That was sort of like my my big shark that I was chasing, my big whale I was chasing, because I really wanted to do a story like that. I really enjoyed the sort of odder, you know, different kind of fetishes, the things I couldn't really wrap my head around easily. And I really want to do a story on them. I talked to a lot of the guys, and there's furries and there's plushies. Plushies are people that like to have sex with stuffed animals. Furries are people that like to wear mascot costumes and have sex.
Right.
And those is a very important distinction. And
well, they'd probably get very angry if you, yeah.
God damn it, I'm a furry!
But they didn't want to come on the show because recently when I had done this, was, I don't know, five, six, whatever years ago, Vanity Fair, I think it was, had done a sort of an expose that sort of made fun of them, you know, so
no.
They didn't,
imagine that.
So, which is something we always refused to do. I mean, but they didn't believe
you would have
right. So I couldn't win them on. Yeah.
Were you my producer on Robot Sex? Did we do that together?
Yeah.
Robot. Ross and I did a story about a guy who would paint chicks up in metallic paint and then pretend they were robots and make them have sex with each other.
Did they have to talk like that?
Yes, and he had remote control. Awesome. And he made them move like robots and then have sex with each other. We shot it in a junkyard on an old mattress. And I think it may have been my last shoot. Because I was like, Ross, I can no longer do this. I have to quit.
And that's Ralph saying that.
I've never seen so much dust inside. There was like dust, like a foot, like tall in this junkyard. I was like, you couldn't sit anywhere. It was just like, and Ralph's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you a personal question. If you're just joining us, Ross Dale is the author of Embedded Confessions of a TV Sex Journalist, available in stores now. You're young, good looking, successful television guy, and you're doing all these shows with all these sexually active people. You had to have sometimes have gotten involved in the story a little bit, or some of the participants in the story, right?
Did you read the book, Dean?
I did.
Holy crap.
But maybe some of our listeners did not.
He was getting so much tail while we were shooting this goddamn show.
Were you?
No.
Well, what's up with that?
I had no idea.
Maybe he got the redacted version. But, yeah, I certainly...
he did a lot of research.
Yeah, you got to research. You get to know the people. And it's also the book is also actually a very touching love story.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of touching, that's for sure.
A lot of touching, yeah.
Did you have anyone say to you, suck it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Just checking. Ralph, in fact.
Hey, come on. No, it's funny because Ross got into the job opportunity by an ex-girlfriend who sort of gave you the
one of the producers was a girl I dated, and she, you know, I sort of felt like, hey, if she can do it, I can do it. You know, if a woman says this is okay to do, you know, if it was some like, you know, fat, you know, friend of mine that said, oh yeah, come and hang out with these naked chicks, I probably wouldn't have taken the job, to be honest.
Right.
But since it was an ex-girlfriend who said come hang out with these naked chicks, I was like, okay. And I became very much involved with one of the hosts of the show, lovely woman by the name of Kira Reed. She's got a great website, kirareed.com. I always enjoy telling people to go to. But,
and by involved, you mean?
Yeah, we started having an affair on the road, and very much fell in love with her. And
did she say,
suck it?
Maybe. I don't know.
Here's a guy who
how'd that work out?
Porn who starts dating a porn star thanks
yeah,
to this show.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's our little boy Ross's adventure.
You probably taught him a thing or two.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Ross, what do you do now?
I just finished a show that just aired for E! Channel, the 12 Sexiest Wet and Wild Jobs. It just premiered on July 4th at 9 o'clock, which meant nobody watched it. But
how do you go from Playboy back to E?
Well, E! Started to get, in the time that I was gone, E! Started to get more interested in some sexy programming because, you know, people seem to be into that sort of thing. So they actually called me back to I did 12 Sexiest Vegas Jobs, which premiered in January. It's been re-airing all year so far. And it's
finally some real journalism.
I know.
Yes.
Right?
It's a chance to really stretch your wings.
I sort of have this little niche, evidently, you know. But I can't complain. It's all right.
Now, one other thing in your book, and we're kind of running out of time here, but Heterosexual Masturbation Club. We can't get into too much detail, but that exists?
Yeah, it was Club Relate. They call it a masturbation club. Really, it sort of functions more as a swing club, but without an off-premise place. So they would go to different hotel rooms, and all these older folks would come together. And
were they fat and ugly?
Literally. The ones that I shot were a little on the older tip and a little pudgy in places. But it was cool. They really, you know, believed in this. They really enjoyed it. It was like some of them were actually retired. I mean, but they really, it was like their little dirty secret.
But why wouldn't you call that swingers then?
Well, because there was a lot. It's interesting. I'm not really sure why they didn't want to be known, I guess, as swingers. And they also want to encourage people to sit back and just masturbate and not necessarily touch someone else if that's what they were into. It was very into communication. They'd sit around in this circle beforehand and say, like, what do you want to accomplish this this meeting? Oh, you know, I'm so-and-so, and I want to do this. Probably some things I can't say. But,
no, you can't.
And,
they would want to share with each other at some
exactly.
point.
Did any of them say,
balls?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was said a lot.
All right. Wow, this is fascinating.
This is a great
time.
Read, because it's full of interesting sex stuff, but as Ross mentions, it also is an interesting story about his relationship with Maggie, his ex-girlfriend. It's kind of on again, off again, and then he gets into this relationship with Kira, who is married at the time, and all the other women that he seemed to spend time with while I apparently was working hard.
In front of the camera, Ross was
Working hard
naked behind it. Well, you
mean.
Know.
Embedded, Confessions of a TV Sex Journalist is the name of the book. Is it everywhere or just at this site?
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere. Yeah, it's okay. All the good bookstores, Borders,
even the
Amazon,
bad ones. That's how popular this book is.
Amazon, Amazon.com. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
So you'll type in embedded, and you'll get a bunch of war. But type in sex, and then you'll get his, and that'll be much better. Ross, thanks for coming in. We appreciate
it.
Thank
you.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1. What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067 is the toll-free number to get on the air for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew for a Monday morning. How about this? A pair of passes to the Maloof Money Cup. It's not what you're thinking. This is at the OC Fairgrounds, July 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's this weekend. It is the world's greatest skateboarding competition, and you get to be there in person for being on the air with us for What It Do Nephew.
That's from Two Girls, One Money Cup.
Right? No.
Nope. Completely different.
Did you guys see Family Guy last night, by the way?
Did not.
Brian the dog makes Stewie watch Two Girls, One Cup on the,
on the internet. I didn't know they were doing new ones again.
I don't know if this was a new one or not.
Awesome.
But it wasn't one I had seen before, and it was a very funny moment.
Awesome.
And he tapes his reaction as he's watching it on his screen. You know, it's very entertaining.
Don't go there if you don't know what we're talking about. You won't like
it. Two guys, one horse.
Edgar in Carson. Good morning.
Good morning. What'd he do, guys?
What'd he do?
All right, so I go to the morgue. It's June 28th, and guess who I see right there?
You went to the morgue for what?
Because I got a DUI. So the
okay, hold on. I'm going to guess. Was it George Carlin?
No, it was Lindsay Lohan.
She's dead?
She's not even dead. What are you talking about?
No, she was there. She was standing there, and then I went up to pay my fee, and I looked down the roster, and there, sure enough, that's her name, Lindsay Lohan. She was right there.
First of all, you're saying Lindsay Lohan's name is Lindsay Lohan, and second of all... So this was community service for a DUI, and she also had to do the same thing you did at the same time?
No, it wasn't community service. It was...
I'm going to punch you right in the face, Edgar.
Terrible story.
I'm
going
to punch you right in your head.
No, look, when you get a DUI, they send you to the HAM program. That's the hospital and the morgue.
Okay.
So then you have to go to the morgue and look at dead people.
Right.
So it was part of the DUI sentencing is what we're trying to get at.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, let's end it right there, because that's a good story there. Okay.
Wow, what a nitpick.
Speaking of dead people, can we please talk to Lee on line one in Simi Valley? I think you know Lee, Ralph.
Lee and I have worked together.
Ralph, in about a minute, do you think you can recap the story you were talking about earlier this morning?
This morning I told a story about part of my holiday was the fact that sadly we lost my wife's beloved grandmother, Avalon, who was just a wonderful, wonderful woman. And she'd been sick for a long time. She finally passed. And we were all at her house as she passed away, and then we called the mortuary service to come to pick up her body. And they took a little while to get there, and when they did, a gentleman named Lee showed up who was, I reiterate, very professional, very concerned and caring, and did a great job, but he was a little short-handed.
He only had one hand?
No, he had two hands, but you need more than that to in order to get a body up off the bed and onto the gurney and then into the vehicle itself.
So he showed up
with a wood chipper, you don't.
Jesus be
God. So I had to lend a hand, and I was surprised. And it was an unexpected end of the day for me was to be able to lift my grandmother-in-law into
you helped Lee.
Lee's
a gurney.
Vehicle. And gurney, yeah.
Lee's on the phone now.
Hey, Lee, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
I hope you heard me speaking about you earlier. I was complimenting your professionalism and your respect and your
lack of help.
No, and the fact you did a great job, but you were sort of shorthanded when you showed up.
Yeah, actually, I felt really bad about that because usually we have about two people who come and kind of assist with a resident.
Mm-hmm.
But due to the fact that we were kind of busy and quite a few people passed away.
Well, this is the busy season for you guys.
Now, Lee, does that mean that you were by yourself all day and every house you went into, you had to have someone from that family help you?
No, it was just that particular
only Ralph.
Day
we got lucky.
All our other people who were out on other calls, and I was just kind of alone. I was actually waiting for someone to come and assist me, but about 2 hours had already transpired. So I just called. I was like, "Hey, is there someone there to to assist me?" And, you know, and I was assured that, yes, there was, but I didn't realize it was going to be Ralph Garman who was going to be there.
Yeah. Is it true that you put his grandmother-in-law in a minivan?
Yes. It's a...
All the hearses not available?
No, actually, you know, we try to be as discreet as possible.
So I see.
We have these Ford Windstars that are outfitted for... You know, for gurneys.
It was tricked out. It looked like a hearse on the inside, but from the outside, it just looked
it's
like a minivan.
Tricked out, have a good sound system, a bitchin' sound system.
Head spinners, head spinners. It was bumping as it came into the trailer park.
You can play the music as loud as you want. They don't care. Hey, Lee, how'd you end up in this line of work, buddy?
Tell the truth, I kind of just kind of fell into it. I was actually scabbing for Vons during the strike, you know, a few years back.
Right.
And, for Vons grocery store?
Yeah.
A friend of mine's... I knew worked at this funeral home, and they kind of asked if I would, you know, since I wasn't busy doing anything really during the day, because I was on the graveyard shift. And like, hey, would you want to come help out, you know, and do services? And I said no.
Good call, graveyard shift, by the way, very funny. Go ahead.
Like, yeah. Oh, you know what? Change of scenery. Yeah, I wouldn't mind helping out some services.
Change of scenery.
Man, I got to tell you, I would have turned that job down.
I did twice.
But let me ask you this, Lee. There has to come a point, not for everybody, but for people who continue to be able to do this line of work, where it's just another day at the office, and yeah, they're dead people, but that is not the part that bothers you anymore. It's just what you do, right? You get used to it, don't you?
Still kind of weirds me out a little bit. I mean, there are some people who are actually who are just made for this kind of work. For me, you know, it's still kind of awkward, you know, when I, you know, come across, you know, someone who's passed away and just kind of dealing with families that are grieving. But, you know, overall, just kind of got to put your feelings and emotions aside and just, you know, just tend to the needs of the family.
Just do it. All right, last question. Ralph's grandma-in-law, Avalon, kind of hot?
Oh,
I'm just asking. I didn't know. Was she kind of hot?
Back in the day.
Was, nicely done, Lee.
Okay.
But
all
Lee,
right,
once
Lee.
Again, you did a real good job, man. You were very respectful, and I know it's a bad situation to walk into dealing with a family that's grieving like that, so we did appreciate how considerate.
Hey,
actually,
I have a quick request.
Yeah.
Is there any possible way that I can get a copy of this segment that that Rob talked about on the air just so I can send it to my bosses?
Not if you're going to sue.
No.
We didn't talk about you at all. yeah, sure. Hold on.
Yeah, we'll get that.
Don't
to
go
you,
away.
Lee.
Hey. To anybody else that is going to say, we don't keep records on this show, which is odd.
Sounds like a cool dude, Ralph.
He was very nice. Like I said, he really took our feelings into consideration. It just was awkward that I had to lend him a hand when it came to moving the body. Was not, right. Not what I expected.
Let's go to Adrian in Mentone. Adrian?
What are you doing, F.U., baby
what?
Boo?
What are you doing?
Yeah, I just saw Rancid over there at the House of Blues in Vegas.
Dude.
It was sick. It
did
was
you know
good.
They were? Did you know they were playing, or were you just staying there? Where is that, in the Rio?
No, it's the Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay, right.
No, I knew that they were playing over, and I took the drive over there. It was sweet. They tried to actually kick me out for being too crazy, and I ran from them into the pit. They couldn't catch me.
Wow. You got to be something to get thrown out of a Rancid show.
Yeah.
You were too rowdy for a Rancid show.
You
got
to be a giant a-hole to get thrown out of a Rancid show. But it was great, huh?
Yeah. I can't wait till they come back into town, and they still got it, man. They still got it.
I'm sure they do. That's a great band.
Well, they're not 60, for God's
nope.
sakes. You know?
They still got it. They're all 85 now, but they're still rocking.
Let's go to line four, talk to Alfonso in Buena Park. We were talking with our guest a few moments ago about the furries. And I guess, Alfonso, you got some experience with the furries.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
How do you
explain to what furries again. These are people that dress up?
Not always, but sometimes, yes. They dress up as anthropomorphic animals, sort of like the mascots.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then they have sex while dressed up like a mascot, like an animal.
Some will, actually.
Okay.
A week ago today, I returned from Pittsburgh, where I attended Anthrocon, the biggest furry convention in, I guess, the world.
Now, did you do this out of comedy, or do you have a costume?
I don't have a costume. What I do, though, is draw furry and occasionally some furry porn.
You draw furry porn?
Occasionally, yeah. In fact, while I was there, I sketched in one of my friend's books a BJ furry book.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
All right.
Alfonso, are you the guy that emailed me before you went and I asked you if possible to take a bunch of pictures?
Yeah, I sent you a bunch of pictures on Thursday, I think.
No pictures. I got nothing from you.
Oh, really? I'll send them again, because sometimes people don't get my emails.
Send those to bean@krock.com. And anybody else that has furry pictures, by the way, send those
on. Well, I was thinking that I was hoping Alfonso would get some pictures and then maybe we'd be able to have him on the show and talk about it, but apparently we're already doing that, so.
Oh, I'll send the pictures again. I got some pictures of my workspace at the Artist Alley and a couple of furries just sort of roaming around.
Yeah. They do sound exciting.
Who better for sex dressed as a farm animal than Bean? Really,
yeah, no kidding.
Like, he's not doing that already.
Oh, look at me. I'm a big beaver.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. I think that's probably a good place to leave it for today. And I want to thank our special guest, Ross Dale, for joining us. The book, again, is called Embedded, Confessions of a TV Sex Journalist. Now, we didn't get to Kevin almost blowing up California.
I did not do any such thing.
Mm-hmm. Didn't even get to talk about that today. But tomorrow, will you tell us the story about how the authorities were once again involved in Kevin's 4th of July plans?
I will tell you about the neighbor that I almost punched.
Oh, okay.
Tell you that. Almost right. Threw down.
Was it a chick?
She was like 5'4".
You're quite the man.
But she's the one that always causes me trouble. Tomorrow morning at All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Gene Simmons in studio.
Oh, what? Yeah. How about that?
We have Gene Simmons in studio.
Wear something sexy tomorrow, yeah. Lisa. Come on.
We're talking off air. I think a burka is actually appropriate.
A burka.
I'll give you $100 to work nude tomorrow, Lisa.
Same goes for you.
I am wearing a turtleneck.
Drive him crazy. You know how he gets.
No, God, no.
She could wear a turtleneck and he'd be driven crazy.
Yeah,
that's the problem with Gene.
That's true.
Also, we're going to talk about Omar's European Scramble, or whatever it is he called it. He went on a vacation where he spent like 30 seconds
at
each place.
I had that at IHOP. Omar's European Scramble. It was quite good.
And we've got to talk some more about the Ozzy Osbourne variety show that's coming that Ralph made the announcement earlier this morning on Showbiz Beat.
I wish it was Christmas.
Plus, don't forget, every day at 8, noon, 4, and 8, you can win an Xbox 360 Rock Band. Tickets to the Mayhem Festival this weekend. And Friday morning, we'll do a drawing. You can take a helicopter to the show and play Rock Band with Disturbed backstage.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
Cat Corbett is going to be coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Sublime, also the new one from The Offspring called You're Gonna Go Far, Kid. We got some Red Hot Chili Peppers, Weezer, Jane's Addiction, and more. It's all right after this on the world famous.